So this intro was suggested by ToonBoy630, who was affected by Hurricane Sandy, so don't freak out about it. Also, there are many fantastic aid projects out there, like those being run by the Red Cross. We thoroughly suggest anyone out there who can spare the money donates kindly. Here I am, rock you like a
Hello and welcome to the Lincoln Cast, the Giant Bomb Community Guild Wars 2 podcast for the week of November the 3rd. I am your host, Durin. With me today is self-confessed cynic.
Boom! That was pretty good, Durin.
Episode 27, by the way, I did leave that part out. With me also is Nubarama.
It could have been better. It was kind of shit. You should stop being host.
Thurbleton.
Hey, how you doing?
Wait, you're not going to claim hostship?
Nah.
All right.
What?
That was easy enough.
Yeah.
Fine with being second in command.
I get commander. I'm good.
Definitely not second in command.
Also, with
never
us
let Noob in any form of command condition.
Is Revan?
Hurricane Sandy is not the real.
And last but definitely not least, Shinboy.
Fuck you, Hurricane Sandy is the real. My house has a dent in it.
Woo! That's awesome.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Wait. So yeah, what is it? What do you mean by a dent in your house?
Okay, there's like I live on a corner, and like towards the corner of the street from my house, there's a big ass tree, like fucking like 70 feet tall. It's massive, and my parents were always worried about it, you know, because it's a big ass tree right next to the house. And finally, in this storm, a branch snapped off and smacked into the front of my house. And split part of the gutter in half and like dented the part underneath it.
Wait, how did you dent a house?
Yeah.
It broke the siding or dented the siding.
Like brick
so
or
that's,
like.
It's like is that plaster? No,
it's like aluminum siding.
Oh, okay.
Well, aluminium for all of you.
Aluminium
Brits.
Siding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, the actual.
That
way
reminds me of
term.
When we had a real bad storm
it actually
here.
Is spelled that way.
That reminds me of when we had a real bad storm here and, a tree in our backyard.
Are you comparing a real bad storm to a hurricane?
No. I'm talking about him the denting of the house part. We had a real bad storm here, and a tree fell down and actually would have literally landed on in my parents' bedroom, like basically on their bed.
Wow.
But was actually caught by two other branches from two other trees and basically kind of like roughed up the shingles a little bit and like dented the gutter, and that was it.
There was something like that at my house too. Like the branch hit the house, and a bigger, like pretty much half of the top of the tree snapped off, and would have like completely destroyed my sister's room and taken out a whole corner of the house. But it landed like 2 feet from the side of the house instead.
Oh wow!
So we got pretty lucky.
That's pictures. Crazy. See, we just don't have many trees that big here, and our
thing
storms.
Is,
like we just don't get hurricanes down here.
You don't get storms. But you're an island infested with giant spiders surrounded by sharks.
It's true.
I would take a hurricane.
We don't get earthquakes. We don't get hurricanes. We don't get tornadoes.
You get holes in the ozone layer.
We don't have that anymore because that's been relatively patched up. And then...
Oh, you get the Chinese.
It's just awesome down here. Yes, we get the Chinese. Yeah, that is...
First to fall in a Chinese invasion, I'm telling you. That's why the U.S. Marines are there. Man, they know.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of military up here by school, actually.
I was just talking about, you know, like normal immigrants and stuff, but
No, I was talking about the PLA, man. They're coming. In force.
Liberation Army?
Yep. So Shinboy, did you actually weather the hurricane or
I was home. My house actually doesn't have power still. I'm up at school.
What's that like?
It's cold.
What is
and
being
it's dark.
A hurricane like?
Oh.
So was this a night or
yeah,
was it during the day?
The storm first rolled around in force at like 6:37 o'clock and ran until like 1 a.m. So yeah.
So it's old
darkness. While it was going on, or were you awake?
I stayed up until maybe 11.
Hurricanes at nighttime must be way worse than hurricanes during the day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Especially since I was the power was out, obviously. So I was upstairs in my room reading with like a headlamp on. I had this headband that had like a flashlight. It made me look like a coal miner, but the thing's awesome.
That's fantastic.
So, what book were you reading?
No, I'll get to that later.
Retard.
So,
we're talking about hurricanes here. Oh my god,
book. It's books and hurricanes. Books are like hurricanes of knowledge. You know what I'm saying, man?
Oh god.
God.
Anyway,
no.
I heard like a big gust of
reading
wind.
Reading hurricane.
Anyway, getting us back on off topic. I heard a big gust of wind.
Even though Noob wasn't
like,
really trying to get us on topic, just a different stream of on topic.
I literally heard the branch snap, and then there was a bit of silence. I'm like, huh, that was weird. And then like the whole house just shook.
Like, oh, wow.
That's not good.
Oh, my God.
Holy crap. So, wait, you're in a second story? Is it two floors? Or
yeah, it's a two-floor house. My room's up on the second floor.
All right, what's the construction of your house, first and foremost?
What do you mean?
So is it mainly brick with plaster on the inside, or is there mainly metal?
It's mainly metal.
Or is it wood?
We don't have like any brick or anything. It's all aluminum siding. It's mostly wood, yeah.
And that was fine? Like, were there like high-velocity winds in your area? I assume there was, because the tree
branch broke. It was whatever Category 1 hurricane is, which I think is minimum like 72... miles an hour sustained.
Yeah. Wow! So you couldn't go. You couldn't even go outside because you just.
It was funny because
literally...
when the thing landed, it landed. We have like a little small roof above our front porch, and it propped itself up against that. So my dad and I had to go out in the storm and like push it off of that into my front yard.
Oh fuck!
That had to suck.
How was
Holy
that?
Shit! Yeah.
Give me paint a word picture.
The storm really didn't. There wasn't that much rain. Most of the flooding that you guys, I'm sure, have seen and heard about was because of a storm surge. It also happened to happen during high tide in a lot of areas.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it was pretty much
70 mile an hour wind though. Like that had to have been.
You know when like you stand in front of like on a hot day and you have the fans that are like blowing mist at you. Mm-hmm. It was that, but a hell of a lot faster.
Well, yeah, that's kind of because everyone's seen I think it was might be the Need for Speed or something. It was a Jeremy Clarkson Top Gear special, or it wasn't really Top Gear special, but it was a Jeremy Clarkson special.
I don't know.
And
no,
he stands in a one of those those awesome ski uniforms with the crazy helmet and stuff in a wind turbine with straps to the side of the wind turbine, and you can see like the entire his body deforming from the wind. Was it anything like? Did you feel the wind hardcore?
Yeah. Like it was almost knocking me back when it was gusting, and it was at the point where I was standing right next to my dad, and we needed to yell to hear each other.
Oh wow!
Jesus.
Wow!
It was also because where we were standing, it was at nighttime. The only light was my headlamp.
I would have just stayed inside.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
like, no, it's morning because. No, because if it was propped up against there, it could have damaged that roof.
Right.
Okay.
So we had to move it.
Jeez. And how did you move it? How do you move a tree branch?
We had to push it against the wind because the wind was blowing towards us and the branch was angled at like a 60-degree angle, leaning up against the
roof. So did you use like a crane or something?
No, my dad and I just sort of had to push.
You guys don't have cranes?
That's not safe.
No, it's not.
I was going to say, so basically you and your dad are both fucking insane.
Yeah. Like, how big was it? Give me a visual picture of how big that branch was.
I mean, you're talking about pushing a giant tree branch against a 70-mile-an-hour wind in the dark with no light other than a headlamp.
It's big enough to prop itself against a roof at a certain angle. So it's like 3 meters long or so.
Yeah, I would say 3 meters long, roughly, with smaller branches going off here and there. And it was it wasn't like a tree trunk thickness, but it was maybe
like the size of a pretty like a mid-sized tree, I guess, like a small tree, maybe.
Yeah, like a sapling. Like it was maybe
4 inches, maybe
like the length 6-7 inches in diameter.
Okay.
So like we had to push it like up and to the right so it fell like into my front yard.
So it's movable by man. It's just that you were doing it in 70 gusts of 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, and then the bigger chunk
that's insane.
That would have been real bad because that was a foot and a half across and maybe 25 feet tall. So if that hit the house, that would have been bad times. I would not be recording this podcast right now.
Holy cow. Yeah.
So, I mean, speaking of not recording this podcast at this time, like, The only reason you can is because you're at school right now. Like, your house is still without power.
Which I'm sure you guys, not you guys here, I'm talking to the listeners as well, have seen the footage from Hoboken, New Jersey, which was severely flooded. That's where I go to school.
Wow.
But we're up on a hill.
That's nice.
So
A-OK.
We're maybe where my building is now. We're maybe 50, 60 feet above the river. So if it came up here, bad times for everyone involved. For everyone.
So everyone was in your neighborhood was okay, like your parents were fine, all that stuff after the.
No injuries. No one died in my town, thank God, which is good.
That's awesome.
I don't know.
Someone died in my city, and we weren't even near.
I mean,
hurricane.
I shouldn't laugh, but you're way.
Some lady
north.
Was walking outside.
To be fair, somebody probably
was
died in my
a
city
walk.
Too.
I didn't know they had hurricanes in North Korea.
No,
typhoons.
It's typhoons. Okay, no, but like she was out on a walk, right? But it was like stormy, so there was a bunch of warnings, and apparently a sign, like a big billboard sign, just fell off from the winds and directly hit her while she was walking.
Oh wow. Shit!
Bad luck. Oh,
wow.
Bad luck.
That sucks. But like,
what's that movie series that kind of shit happens?
Final Destination.
Final Destination.
Yeah. That's exactly like
but
that.
The thing is, I don't really – like my town, there were some really bad spots. Like they had the benefit thing on NBC, I guess it would be last night, Friday night. And Bon Jovi was on, and he's from the same town. And he was back there the other day and took a whole bunch of footage that they showed, and there was some really bad flooding. Like not where I live, but further like downtown. They were like – I know one of the guys I went to high school with pretty much lost everything in his house.
Wow.
Jeez. And like my neighbor, this is actually kind of funny. This part in all of this is my neighbor's, one of their like dad's business partners has a house down the shore and he couldn't find his boat. So he eventually found it down the street on someone's roof.
Oh, God.
Oh my God.
Holy crap.
It was,
holy crap, how does that even happen?
What?
Jesus.
70-mile-an-hour winds, that's how it happens.
And he was right on the water, so like a massive storm surge from the ocean, too.
Yeah.
Still seaworthy?
Wow. Yeah, okay.
I don't know if it was still seaworthy. That's a good question.
Oh, man. Does he have, does both parties have insurance?
I don't know. I don't know who's at fault there. Like, who pays
for the
repairs?
Do you need boat insurance? Like, do you need boat insurance to boat, I wonder? That's actually a good question.
Like New Jersey, it's required by law to have liability insurance for your car.
I don't know if it's
the same for
that's
a boat.
The same here, but I don't know about boats.
I bet it's not the same for a boat. I bet it's not the same. But
I feel like
get
boats are more dangerous than cars.
Well, boats are more dangerous and more difficult to drive as well.
The house is on the shore, right? Yeah.
But they're
probably
on
hurricane
the
insurance,
ocean.
So he's fine.
I saw the James Bond movie. Boats kill people.
Yeah.
Boats are actually really. See, people always ask me like, what's more difficult to drive, a boat or a car? Because I have a boater's license, and I'm just like, a
I thought
boat,
you were say you had a boat car.
Moving.
You suck.
A boat because the road moves.
Yeah,
that's what I'm gonna say.
I've driven a boat. It's way more fun than driving.
Well, it's,
most cars.
It's easier at the most like it. Most of the time because you're just sort of going
it's,
in a straight
well,
line.
Well, it's easier when there's no other boats around.
Yeah, if you need to
and
figure out
no
like, where you need to go, like in regards to this other boat, it's normally more difficult.
Yeah,
right.
Like my grandparents have a house on a lagoon, like so they're a bit in. Like the water would have had to go through an inlet and go through a canal and a river and like the lagoon to get to them, and it came up about 8 feet.
Jeez,
like 4 feet in their garage. It was pretty nuts. They lost one of their cars and my cousin who's living with them, his car.
So that's kind of the word. See, for me, it's obviously the lives are the number one loss, but the amount of property damage.
Yeah, one guy my dad works with, who's a real nice guy, who I feel terrible for, he lost literally everything.
Oh, man.
This is just depressing. Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say.
I'll post that before and after picture that I found before. Let me find it. You guys can
that I've heard Skyfall's pretty good. From,
oh yeah!
I'm so happy.
I was just on Facebook, and then Zumi Raman's like, "Oh, Skyfall is the best Bond movie ever," or something like that.
That's awesome!
Really?
Can't
like,
wait! I'm gonna
to be
fucking
good?
Watch the shit out of that.
I heard from Stephen Fry that it was really good too.
Huh.
Yeah,
reliable source
love it.
On British cinema. If I say so
it's
myself.
Awesome. Well, Stephen Fry.
Well, see, I don't know
because
a lot of people like Casino Royale, and that one to me was a fucking bore fest.
I love Casino Royale, so fuck you.
Well, like I felt like there wasn't enough going on in that movie. Like it just kind of felt like it dragged the whole time. And I don't, mean that I need it to be like a crazy action movie.
I liked it that way.
I don't really like Daniel Craig. I
posted a picture in the Skype chat.
Oh,
that's like right by my grandparents' house. That's a before and after. I'll put it in the thread on the forums too.
Jesus.
Like the right hand side, that's the ocean. The left hand side is the river that my grandparents like live off of. And they met.
Oh, wow.
And is this the inlet you were talking about?
Yeah, that's the new inlet that was created. And if you kind of see. You'll see some black things like in a row kind of in the middle of the inlet, especially in the
water. Is that from a fire?
Them. No, no, that is a state highway. Or what is left of the state highway.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
So, bad times for all.
Man. See, if it wasn't for the property damage, I'd totally be... Because like the people who storm chase, that's going to be so fun. But
I don't think it would be
property
fun.
Damage sucks. Storm
chasing. Like whole boardwalks and stuff are knocked out, like Seaside, which a lot of people just know from Jersey Shore. There's actually a really good boardwalk there with not like, decent enough rides, but it's a decent atmosphere. And the roller coaster is just straight up in the ocean.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, shit. That is, man. Anyway.
Yeah, my favorite Bond film is Die Another Day with Halle Berry and Pierce Brosnan.
You. Really? God, fuck you.
Mine's probably Casino Royale at the moment until I watch Skyfall.
Hopefully. Really?
Casino Royale was pretty good.
Yeah.
I was not paying attention to that part of your conversation, so I'm just going to say that Casino Royale was pretty good.
Yeah.
I can't remember whichever one Sean Bean dies in.
Goldeneye.
There we
Goldeneye. Go. That's with me.
Every movie
who's
ever?
Next
during?
Who's
oh, no, no,
wait,
no.
Did you play any games?
Shinboy needs to talk about his book. Yet. Don't talk about
the book. Oh, yeah. Hold on, let's talk about the book.
All right, let's talk about the book.
Okay, yeah, go.
Because there was no power and all I had was my headlamp, I played a little bit of Pokemon Ruby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I read
that's
a good
pretty great.
Chunk of World War Z.
Ooh,
so awesome. Good.
I was
so
gonna
good.
Read, I was going to read either A Feast for Crows or The Hobbit, but I left them both up here at school. So
right.
I was stuck.
Are you glad you did?
I am so disinterested in World War Z. Just in,
what?
It's so disinterested.
If you're
so
one of those
good.
People that just like hates zombies... Like,
yeah,
it's
no, no, but
still,
it's so it's nice it. Because it's not like oh, it's some dude surviving in a zombie apocalypse. No, it's like the effect of a zombie apocalypse
like the
on a society.
Of it. Yeah,
on, yeah
that's but that's what they're all
societies.
About. That's what zombie
no,
movies
no, you
are
don't understand.
About.
No, it's never about like couple of people. It's about the entire world and how it functions government wise.
It's like a large scale version okay. of the Walking Dead game.
Exactly.
All right. Okay.
Without the decision.
You know what I want to see in a zombie literally, movie? I don't want to see survivors fighting zombies. I want to see armies fighting zombies.
Everybody that's that I've cool. heard that has read that book has said it is amazing. So I haven't read it myself
okay.
yet. I still need to. But yeah, that's the first time I've heard that even if you don't like zombies.
If we're talking about like a governmental scale, now you've got me interested. That's actually
oh, no, we're talking about some like the South African government snatching some guy who was labeled by most of the country as crazy, snatching him up to devise a plan to divide the population of South Africa to use one section as bait while the other ones escape.
Oh, jeez.
It's so great.
Oh,
all right, so
geez.
I need to go pick that book up.
There's like a section.
And I think they're talking about the logistics of it and everything. So it's really awesome.
Like, and each country, like countries like North Korea and how they work during a zombie apocalypse and like Japanese people. It's crazy. It's a great book. I highly recommend everyone check that out. Great book.
If you're just a fan of like speculative fiction, which I am, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So is there actually like a narrative to it or?
Yes.
It's told, it's actually full title is World War Z, an oral history of the zombie war. It's pretty much a series of interviews.
Okay, right, okay.
So this dude is basically...
But they're chronological.
So like, yeah. So basically like the main character, quote unquote, because he's not really a main character, is like from the UN. It's 5 years after the end of the apocalypse and he just goes around doing interviews for the UN commission or whatever. And it's just a series of stories from different people.
Yeah, but they're told chronologically.
Yeah.
All right, that's it's interesting. I'm not sure. I usually don't like that
well
kind of
written.
Format of storytelling.
It's not just the telling of what would happen in a zombie apocalypse, but also just society as it is today, which I find
right.
also very interesting.
My main worry about it is, at least in the Australian store, there's no audiobook version of it. I don't know if I'll
oh,
be able
the
to
audiobook
get
is. I don't. I've listened to a little bit of it, but it's shortened, so it's missing a couple of stories.
Oh fuck that! It's abridged. Screw that. Yeah. Worst. Worst.
All right.
It's pretty good.
You guys so should read it. We'll go ahead and throw it to Thurbleton to find out what he's been playing this week.
I have finally beaten Dishonored.
You finally.
Hey!
Okay, so without spoiling, because I still haven't gotten around back to playing that
game.
Oh, really?
Again. I thought you loved that game so much.
Is that the game with the dinosaurs?
I have like fucking 20 games to play right now, and my top one right now is Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, because fucking I need to finish that in Revelations before 3 comes out on PC later this month. So I haven't
gotten
around
back to Dishonored. They didn't push it back, though, didn't they?
It's like the 23rd. Yeah. So I've got a little bit of time, but I also have two Assassin's Creed games to play through. So
you're gonna be burned out so much by the time 3 comes out.
Probably, but I'm hoping that the change in scenery is enough to make that okay. Because like I was kind of burned out after playing 2 and trying to get into Brotherhood, but it was kind of a lot of the same thing. So I'm kind of hoping that with this one being Colonial America and new guy, new story, a lot of gameplay changes that may not happen this time around. But so anyway, go back to the third. So what did you, again, like without any spoilers, what did you think of Dishonored?
I really enjoyed it. I first started off just doing like, it's if someone doesn't have a lot of time to commit to a game, in a set time, you can just do one mission per like day or whatever time slot you can allot to playing games. And then they do a good job of keeping the pace changing. What I mean, like it's you go from like cityscape to like different environments. So it's not the same. Sneak behind a guard, stab him. Go to the next guard, stab him.
Better not stab him because the game will punish you.
So,
for it.
Oh God,
that is something. Yeah, that's my one issue with the game is if you want to get a non-combat approach, you have to do stealth.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, what was your approach to the game? How did you?
I pretty much I tried killing the least number of people possible.
Okay, so you weren't going for a ghost run then. You were just,
well, that's just it. There's some missions where it's like you will sort of have to. There's one where it's like you're in this Mexican standoff where it's like, okay, somebody's going to die at the end of this, or you can just maybe walk away. But I think you have to kill somebody then.
Is that early on or is that?
No, it's pretty late.
Oh, okay,
hold on. I've seen video of that. Can't you like slow time and sneak up behind him and? Like,
just
joke.
This is a different thing.
Okay,
never mind.
There's this other time where it was an optional thing, like, but it's like
you can get through the entire game without killing anybody because that's what a ghost run is no kills. So there is a way to do it. It's just a matter of, I guess, finding out how to do that. Then
I guess
I don't know. I'll have to look into that. There is one where it's like I won't spoil too much with this, but you have to you have the option to take out the Royal Interrogator, which is a fancy term for torturer. Mm. And it's like, I could non-lethal him, but he's just going to wake up and go back to torturing people. Mm. So it's like I so kind of have to stab
so, this so, guy. So you play the game trying to kill as few people as possible, but still bringing morality into it where it made sense.
Morality makes people weak. Just kill everything.
All the, but the non-lethal kills were still, inverted commas kills, were still permanent. Like for example, the one they always throw around is
He was thinking narratively. Like narratively, the guy would get back up eventually and still.
Yeah, not in game sense. Like in
this is I'm talking about not bosses, which they always have a. You don't have to kill this person.
Oh, okay,
we can
right.
do something other to him.
You should impregnate him, so it ruins his life forever.
What I do like is if you choose to go like a non-lethal path, it's sort of like as the game progresses, it keeps setting up that same sort of theme, whereas if you go combat, more guards show up, so you get to fight more guys and it keeps getting funner.
Yep.
But it's like my one issue with the game is like if you're going non-combat or if you don't want to kill people but you don't want to be stealthy, you still have the sword. Like if they gave you a billy club or just like something to fight guys but then just knock them out.
Right.
So that's my biggest problem is that they give you
a taser.
I don't know, my biggest problem is that with the whole, chaos system is, you obviously, if you want low chaos, you want to go non-lethal, but they give you all these crazy awesome tools to use, but they're all lethal.
Mm. Yeah, because
I can see that. They don't give you enough non-lethal abilities.
Or, they should just change which kills are calculated, you know what I mean? Because, the way I see it, if, I'll give an example that I use in, the second mission, the first time you have to get by one of those light walls, Mm-hmm. The way I did it is I rewired it and then shot like on the far, you know, on a good distance on the far side. So the guards were like, what was that? Let's walk over here to see what it is. And they were killed by the light wall. That shouldn't count, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, I pretty much had to just avoid stuff like that.
Now, are you talking, now was that before like the first major assassination you had to do?
Yeah, it's the first and second, because they take place on the same map roughly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I might have did it on the second mission.
I keep trying to butt in because I wanted to get at least the statement out, because the awesome thing in Metal Gear and the reason why I love Metal Gear 4, well, one of the many reasons I love Metal Gear 4, is that, okay, so if you want to play the no encounters, no kills route, which is essentially the ghost route, but I guess is it also like a limitation how many times you can get alert the guards? Is it zero alerts as well?
Zero alerts, no kills. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a big boss run in Metal Gear. That's essentially what it is. So with that, you have the assault rifle, which is awesome, but then you can mod the assault rifle to shoot non-lethal rounds, and so track rounds equivalent. And then you can get a grenade attachment, which shoots a stun grenade as opposed to like a normal grenade. So and there's a sniper rifle, which is a tranquilizer rifle. Like you get all the awesome tools, but they're non-lethal. Like, you can mod them to go that way. They're not as powerful, and it takes more shots usually to take someone down non-lethally, so there is a negative there. But at least you get all the fancy stuff. And so the crazy thing to me is just how many ways this game, takes away the fun if you want to play a big boss run, like, in this game.
And that's the thing, is, like, aside from Metal Gear 4, a lot of the stealth games like this, they have kind of the multiple paths you can choose, like how you approach it and everything. A lot of them kind of do, unfortunately, fall down that same path that Dishonored does, where they give you like the option to play through non-stealth or non-lethal and everything, but then like they give you all these amazing tools to use if you were to go the lethal route, but then they discourage you from going the lethal route because they're like, hey, the more chaos you do, the worse ending you're going to get, and you don't want the bad ending, do you?
The bad ending doesn't bother me. It's more the gameplay of throwing more enemies at me.
Well, yeah. But I just mean like the game actually like basically discourages you from killing anybody because it kind of dangles the good ending.
Yeah, like the game is sending me mixed messages like, hey, here are all these awesome ways you can kill people. Now, don't do it.
Now, and I'm not saying that there needs to be an equal number of non-lethal, honestly. But definitely, but like,
isn't there at least one non-lethal? Isn't it just the sleep darts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't upgrade the amount you carry. You can upgrade the amount of normal darts you carry, but that doesn't transfer to sleep darts.
So you're stuck with 10?
Because that makes sense. You only have 10 permanently. That's the most you can have.
That's what I mean.
Like, there's... It's crazy because essentially it's a game built around a magic system, and that there's so many easily invented ways of applying almost the same stuff but non-lethally. For example, the rats. Like, imagine you can summon rats that only like blind someone and like bites off their fingers and shit and their toes and stuff, and completely like essentially makes them an invalid as opposed to killing them.
Well, like Shinboy said, like, don't count indirect kills as kills. Like, if I shoot a guy, then yes, it is kill. If I stab a guy, yes, it is a kill. If I like rewire something to eventually kill somebody who comes near it, I didn't kill them.
I think the worst example is if you like choke someone out and then throw their body somewhere and then they get eaten by rats, it counts as a kill.
Or if you drop the body from too far, it'll kill them.
What if you permanently paralyze them from the neck down?
So Batman. So you want to be Batman? Because how many people are Batman just like fucking left paralyzed for the rest of their lives?
Yeah. Absolutely. And if it's good enough for Batman, hey, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, like, Batman doesn't kill people. No, he's a good guy. Hold on.
Batman stealth game?
No,
maybe I don't know.
All this said, I'm not sure what Shinboy's stance exactly is on the game. But third to myself, I think we still genuinely enjoyed the game. Right.
Yeah, it wasn't the best game ever, but it was definitely. I'm still feel pretty positive.
It was a lot better than
it.
I expected it to be.
I've put my playtime on hold.
It was a fantastic point just a second ago. Batman stealth game? ? If you've played the Batman games, the recent ones,
I was gonna say like Assassin's, not Assassin's, Arkham Asylum. You can kind of play that as a stealth game.
Asylum, I can see more as a stealth game.
Well, all the, City, for example, all the challenges, which are like the room challenges, which is the hunter challenges, where you go up into the room, there's a bunch of people, and you have to take them all out. Mm-hmm. And obviously you're Batman, so you're doing it non-lethally. Like, the hunter challenges are all no encounters, no kills. Like, the top tier ones. So, like, straight up, you're playing that, if you want to do it for the challenge, as an awesome stealth game, and all the tools they give you in Batman are awesome non-lethal tools. So you have like the Batarang that sets off the alarms and stuff.
Okay, so what we're basically, the conclusion we've come to here is Dishonored would be a much better game if Corvo was Batman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. End of discussion.
End of discussion.
Sorry, what were you saying, Conrad, before I interrupted you?
Well, I was going to say, and if you could hide in our boxes, but the one thing, and you guys can say like this, if this was the case for you as well, it loaded really quickly.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yes. I noticed that too.
I think they really pushed that with early development because they knew people would be like trying to make the perfect takedown of five guards. And so when they screw up halfway through, they can just like reload with like 2-3 seconds. And I mean, I don't even have an SSD or anything. It loaded just really quickly.
Awesome. I have a question. I assume you're playing the PC version?
Yes.
I don't know whether it's just me. When you first load the game up, when you hit, like, press enter or whatever, when it goes from there to the menu, my game, like, damn near locks up every time, and then it runs fine.
It does that too, but I think it's just because the like, cutscenes of the different companies and whatnot.
I guess.
Like, it force locks. Yeah. I will say I think I enjoyed it more on PC than if I used a controller, but that's mainly with trying to do, like, jumps and
blinks
getting
and
the
stuff.
Blink effectively, yeah.
I feel like
everything else is interchangeable.
While the radial menu is not good, it's obviously useful for console and everything. I'm starting to feel like the 1 through 0 for your abilities, like, can we really not find a better way to do that with a keyboard at this point?
Do I really have to
reach all the way over to 8 in order to?
Yeah, I started binding it to my mouse. It's like any game. I mean, that's the beauty of PC. That's just the default. You can bind
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I
think
suppose.
You have a better solution. Use your better solution.
Well, that all depends on the developer.
It'd be fun to see like 1 through 4 and then F1 through F4 as a game.
But I mean, the thing is, like, you can do that. I mean, I'm saying it less if it's a problem and more if it's a cop out on the developers because they're not going to bother on a multi-platform game trying to find a new PC scheme. They're going to go with
that's the thing exactly
going for years
exactly like right. Well, and the PC the new PC scheme is they'll give you like I believe in Dishonored specifically they give you the option of turning on radial menus even if you're using keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, wasn't The Witcher 2, weren't those hotkeys all over the goddamn place, like in a good way?
Oh, probably. I mean, that's CD Projekt, they do a lot of good things, but hotkeys and UI are not one of them.
Right.
If I remember, they at least tried something different.
Yeah, they did.
But then, like, you can level the same criticisms. Like, this is a Guild Wars 2 podcast. You can level the same criticisms as Guild Wars 2.
Wait, like, no, this is the off-topic section. Don't do that.
But gaming in general has had this thing.
Of course.
I think
what it really comes down to is
Arma is a very well refined game with lots of, you know, developer support, and that has
systems.
Wonky keyboard support.
Uh-huh. I think what it really comes down to
animations.
I want to say I've seen a discussion on this recently. I don't remember if it was on Giant Bomb or elsewhere, but I think what it really comes down to is the keyboard is a very antiquated control method for PC gaming.
Agreed. Holy shit.
It's amazing that nobody has come up with anything better than the keyboard. They basically
awesome. Like, if I could get the Move sub controller as my left hand and a mouse on my right hand,
yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would
absolutely
that would change.
Fantastic.
Well, no, exactly. It depends on the kind of game being played. I mean,
Does
some
they have
games
that razor
not
thing?
Work
not really.
That keyboard.
Well, yeah, like the Nostromo is
magnets.
Well, the Nostromo is kind of a good step forward for PC gaming in a lot of cases because
it
puts a lot of
buttons.
But it
doesn't have an analog stick, man. Like,
it does. I mean, to some respect.
Well, it kind of does. It has a digital.
Yeah,
it's not really analog. It's still
digital.
Yeah,
if they replace this weird, like, it's like a D-pad that they put an analog nub on top of because they can't give up on the D-pad.
You also have to think that a lot of developers then would have to get analog movement into their game.
Exactly. But they already have that because they develop a console.
Yeah. I know what I'm saying, but in a game like Guild Wars 2, for instance, people are playing, oh my god, movement with a controller is so much better. I'm like,
I would
no, it's not, because
I will
you're
say
still
though,
doing
Shin
digital
Boy,
movement.
I will say no. Though,
Shinmue, well, yes. If the jumping puzzle had the option of an analog controller, that would change.
Well, it would have to use analog movement.
Yeah.
My point is the main advantage for me anyway that a controller has over mouse and keyboard is full analog movement for stuff like yes. third person action games like Darksiders and the
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you and have people an analog stick that still only has four directions, it doesn't. It's no different.
Yeah, because what people don't understand is an analog stick, when used properly in a video game, isn't WASD. Like, there's some people yeah. out there who have never really sat down and tried a console game recently because they're just complete PC supremacists, or they just only got into gaming, for example, for MMOs and stuff like that. So a lot of people don't realize that an analog stick isn't digital. It's not just like sending a mix of
four-way
forward
or eight-way.
And right. Yeah, it's not like that at all. It's actually fully analog. It has dead zones, and aside from that, like if you tilt it slightly, it's sending an entirely different signal than it would be if it was tilted 3/4 of the way or 100% of the way. Like it's just, it's analog. It's fantastic.
Well, I honestly think that with this going into this next generation of consoles, with the way PC is kind of sitting right now, as it's kind of the place to play your games, and the fact that it's kind of it's sounding more and more like these next consoles are being developed. Like the dev kits are basically like you're developing for PC. I think the PC
is
a lot
of things are x86 based. Still.
Yeah, yeah. So I think PC is going to kind of be PC is going to be kind of the third console. It's going to be the Microsoft console, Sony's console, and PC. And they kind of sort of half assed did that with this generation. I mean, every major release for the most part was multi platform was. 360 PS3 PC, but now because mm-hmm. they can just literally develop them pretty much the same, if this turns out to be true, it would be a good opportunity for somebody to then kind of come out and create a new standard for control for the PC.
So I like the precision of a mouse. Thank you.
No. So that's the thing. Mouse exactly. is perfect. There's nothing wrong with the mouse. They made a lot of steps forward with the way the mouse works with gaming over time. It's the keyboard is the problem. The left hand, like what you're doing with that hand is where there have been basically no changes. There are gaming keyboards, but the difference is like the distance on the switch on the keyboard. And like, there's
and
not
a
enough
of buttons
still,
that don't help you with anything.
Like there's mm-hmm. just, it's still, when it comes down to it, it is a keyboard. It is rows of buttons.
Yeah. That's if what we are still to this thing using. The Move sub controller on your left hand, like that thing, I barely use it because Move games suck, but
wait, you
that's
actually
legitimately
have one?
Awesome. Yeah, I have a sub-controller.
Oh, man.
I bought it because I love the industrial design of it. It's pretty much perfect.
I might
left
get
hand.
One just for MLB so I can just swing it like crazy and hit home runs everywhere.
Well, because you have the Move controller in the right hand, which is the ball and then some random crap. But on the left hand, you have an analog stick. I don't think it does movement sensing. And then you have the trigger and four buttons.
Wait, it doesn't do. I thought it was like the Wii Nunchuck where it had the accelerometer.
No. You actually have to. Well, the Nunchuck only does shake. This one doesn't do shake either.
Oh, okay.
It's just you need two Move controllers, like full size Move controllers, to do two handed movements for the PS3, which is part of the reason the Move failed. But the sub controller itself is literally just an analog stick, a trigger, and four buttons, and it is
hold on. Let's
fantastic.
That's the reason the Move failed.
No. Well, it's one of the many, many reasons
Storybook
failed. Yeah.
Wonder Books. Come on, get it right.
Well, I thought it was just because Sony kept on giving the profits to the Taliban.
Oh my god.
Anyway,
something like that for your left hand, like something that just kind of changes it up a bit, like you said, gives you the analog control, gives you the few buttons that you need, because again, for most PC games, you don't need 20 buttons to play a game. I mean, with the exception of some MMOs and definitely RTS. Like RTS is one of those genres that unless it's completely flipped on its head, like that genre will always need a keyboard.
All kinds.
Halo Wars, all units.
End War.
I would never use Halo Wars as an example of what the RTS genre should
strive
for.
All units.
End Wars.
But the crazy thing is,
though, troops.
One of my main problems with Dishonored is that it wouldn't be fixed by having an awesome left-hand controller because it's still first-person platforming.
Well, like, I think the first-person platforming actually worked very well in that game.
The one thing I don't like about Blink is one of the problems they showed in the quick looks was that when you're blinking to a higher elevation, it doesn't give you a great indication of the up to ledge, like jump up onto a ledge.
Like they said in the quick look, like had they just changed the color of it, like that would
be fantastic.
Make it go from like, but like blue other, to red
other than
something.
That issue with other than that issue with the blink, I felt like that game handled first person platforming way better than any other first person platformer I've ever played. Like I went back and I was playing the Primal Rage beta shortly after having played that game, and I was like trying to fucking parkour over stuff, and it was getting pissed because it didn't have any of that.
Mirror's Edge.
Wait, so you have you actually started going back into Assassin's Creed yet, or did you? Are you planning to?
No, I played actually like quite a few hours of it last night.
Which one have you been playing?
Brotherhood.
Okay, so you're playing the good one. If you play when you get to Revelations, if you get to Revelations, and when I was just talking last week about the awesome Desmond stuff, which I estimated to be like 2 to 4 hours, that's actually about an hour and a half long total. And halfway through, it just becomes a first-person platformer. It completely falls apart. It starts interesting and completely falls apart by the end of it. So Revelations, fucking don't play that game. Like if you don't have the thing which Drew and Vinny have, which is just like, I need to play the whole story.
Oh, no, I do.
And you're fine with YouTubing, then don't play Revelations.
No, I'll YouTube the Desmond stuff because I don't care about that part. I don't care about playing that part. But I do have the kind of the Drew and Vinny thing where, like, mine is more so like I bought the game with the intention of playing through it to play through every game in the franchise post one because one was terrible.
Oh, God. Right.
But so I'll play through it, but I'm going to like, I'm doing kind of everything in Brotherhood. I'm not going to do that in Revelations. I'm going to speed run through Revelations. I'm strictly.
I wouldn't even do everything in Brotherhood. Like, this is just.
Well, when I say everything, I mean, like, I'm doing all the upgrading stuff. I've gotten all the feathers. Right. I'm not getting all of the.
You got
flags.
All the feathers?
There's only 10.
No. There are only 10? Are you sure there are only 10?
At least in. So is Rome the only zone in that game? Because it zooms out and it seems like you can go elsewhere.
I honestly don't remember. I know you go somewhere else for the very last sequence. I think you go to the Vatican, but everything else I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
Am I alone in thinking Assassin's Creed is fucking stupid?
Yes.
Yes.
The premise behind it might be one of the dumbest things.
I was really saddened. So did you watch the Thursday? I'm going a little bit off topic here, but did you go watch the Thursday night?
Where he said that this is the lost Desmond thing?
Yeah.
That
was Noah North? What?
If this is the last Desmond thing, that has fucking destroyed a lot of my desire to continue that franchise.
Now it's all about the Freemasons.
I'm playing through that series because I felt like they were talking, like Desmond was kind of being brought up
Desmond's
to be the central character, and like there was going to be an all Desmond all the time Assassin's Creed. Like that's what I was waiting for.
Yeah. And that's not gonna happen. Exactly like Jeff, like we both had the same reaction, which is just fuck that game.
Yeah.
If this is not gonna do that, fuck it. Assassin's Creed's done.
Like I'll still play three, but I don't know that I'm going to have the drive to play whatever the next one is after that, knowing that that's not the direction they're going, and that like there's potentially going to be the next major Assassin's Creed is going to straight up just not have him.
Yeah, fuck that. Play three and tell me if you think that's the case as well. And if it's the case, I'm out.
Yeah. So
okay. You're pulling out.
Who remembers? Was it after two? One of the head guys on Assassin's Creed left, right? Like one of the head.
Patrice, you guys are going to keep talking about Assassin's Creed. I will be right back.
I think it was, I believe, towards the end of the development of 2 or beginning of Brotherhood's development.
So do you think this was his plan all along, or do you feel like that?
I think his plan
they
absolutely
just changed
was Desmond.
It after he left.
I honestly think his plan was Desmond. There was way too much, and you can kind of see it because in Assassin's Creed 2, it was still very Desmond heavy in terms of storytelling. When you hit Brotherhood, the Desmond stuff really dropped off pretty heavily. Like you don't really ever come out of the Animus. You're able to whenever you want to, but it's for some real quick kind of dialogue stuff with your compatriots, just kind of shooting the shit, and then you hop back in the Animus again. And I've heard that with Revelations, it's even less.
Well, it's kind of the thing, right? Like we had
you off of Desmond.
Yeah, basically,
we had rumors of the Revolutionary War being the next Assassin's Creed game since 2. So I firmly believe that his original plan, I'm not sure if he actually had that deep influence on where the entire series was going, but he was definitely amongst the top tier guys. Their original plan was clearly supposed to be the Mass Effect stuff, so the Assassin's Creed 1 stuff, then Ancient Rome, most probably for the Renaissance, and then skip forward to the Revolutionary War, with maybe one step in between. So their plan was probably 3 or 4 games for that entire time period, and I actually firmly believe they expected something to be between Rome and Revolutionary War. So, but what happened instead was that you have the
Double
one
Italy.
With Masyaf, then you have Italy 3 times, or was it 4 times? 3 times in a row. And then you have...
No, 3 times. What? No.
Yep.
Assassin's Creed
2.
The other one was setting the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah.
Brotherhood
I guess.
Was
Constantinople.
Yeah.
It's yeah, but it's, yeah. It feels the same, because it's the same character.
It's same general time period.
Same color
full of
lighting,
Turks and Italians. Jesus.
Like, well, the lighting is the same. The main character still speak Italian.
Well, and I think the bigger thing is, I think his plan, kind of like you're saying, like, his bigger plan was to kind of hit these big major beats, but I think the Brotherhood and Revelations were not part of that plan, and the plan was for the game series to come to a close at the end of this console generation with the big Mayan end of the world 2012 thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the plan.
And so that didn't fucking happen. My belief, okay, I'm going to say spoilers for the next 20 seconds. He's going to get behind the door, and you'll know what that means when you play 3, and that's going to be end of 3. If you play 2-3 Revelations, that's going to be end of 3. He's going to get past the door, and that's it. That's going to be 3. I'm going to call it now.
So I didn't know when I was getting Assassin's Creed 3 because of the hurricane, and I ordered it for Amazon. I didn't know when it was going to be delivered, so I looked up the ending.
Mm-hmm.
The ending is fucking retarded. That's all I'm going to say. It's fucking retarded.
Well, okay, you played through 2, right? You played the ending of 2?
Yeah. I told you Assassin's Creed was really dumb. Okay. I told you all.
Okay, hang on. When you say that the ending to 3 was dumb, how would you compare it in terms of dumbness to 2's ending?
I'm trying to remember what the ending of 2 was.
I like 2 was when you talked to Minerva.
And YouTube 2 ended with Desmond going, what the fuck?
Oh, was that when
he talked to Minerva.
I was thinking of the one, I'm thinking of Brotherhood.
That was like the huge, my God, this game is crazy.
And stupid.
No, and stupid is good. Like, I like
it's
stupid.
Worse no, than that. No, that's not a good stupid.
I could,
it's a good stupid.
It's worse than that. And also, I could give you a comparison, but if you thought about what I was comparing it to a little too much, you'd figure out the ending.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe you can tell me after the podcast, because I'm actually interested to know now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, so we are almost an hour in, and we haven't even gotten to what everyone else has been playing. So, quickly, Thurb, anything else that you've been playing before we move on to Revan?
No, just the one game, which isn't even Assassin's Creed.
All right, Revan, what non-Assassin's Creed game have you been playing?
Besides Guild Wars 2, just a little bit of NBA 2K.
All right.
Basketball.
Okay, sports, moving on.
Yep.
I love MLS. It's my favorite. What sports MLS? Soccer.
Major League skating?
Yeah.
Major League speed
it's
skating.
It's actually a roller derby.
MLSS. League.
No, Major League skating. They're on a lockout right now. They canceled their
fucking Christ. Why would they do that? That's honestly
the Zamboni drivers are on strike.
If only.
Like, I don't like the Zamboni Union is one of the biggest unions in Canada.
What
I can
is
say
happening?
For a big,
in
big chunk of the people in my neighborhood, that it is just a soul crushing experience.
What are you talking about?
I don't even.
The Zamboni Union.
Like, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing buying a laptop. It's been crazy.
Buying a laptop.
Man, that sounds like a boring game. Let's move on.
It's been absolutely crazy. Long story short, because it is a long story, because I went through a lot of...
Please make it short.
What do I want? get the Asus K55 series of laptops. It is by far the best.
Awesome.
You're looking
at
around...
One quick question. Go. Is it a desktop replacement, or is it an actual laptop? Like a
It's a 15-inch laptop with a full-size...
So
it's got a full-size processor in it. But it's got it's mobile, so it's full voltage, but it's mobile, and you've got
middle series.
You've got a mobile graphics card in it. It's a 630
desktop card in
exactly. And but then
I mean,
but it's got like a 4.5 hour battery life, so and it's only about 2.2 kilos or so.
2.2 kilograms.
So it's both.
Okay, that's actually
it's kind of both. Actually, it's probably closer to 2.5. But yeah, it's all things to all people for only about $500.
Okay, I was just gonna say. I guess I kind of had a question for you, but the $500 pretty much explains it.
It's absolutely. It's got a great trackpad, great keyboard. It took me ages to find, but this laptop fucking kills. But I also got like SSD on top of it.
Like my question right now. My question was going to be, why would you buy a laptop now and not wait for the proper Microsoft Surface to be released? But
fuck, because this is Windows 7.
That's why.
Well, no, because this is Windows 7.
But no, Windows 8 would be fine because it's a touch-based tablet.
Oh right, like yeah. If you, or, I'm not interested in a laptop with a touchscreen at
just,
the moment.
You can just get Windows 8 and install. Was it Launch 8 or whatever that's, or Start 8?
It's only $15 for the upgrade at the moment till the end of January. If you want Windows 8, you can get it for $15. So get a Windows 7 laptop.
Well, when,
get
Windows 8, like if you can use a program to get rid of the Start screen and bring back the Start menu, is not.
Terrible. I actually really like the Start screen, except for the gestures on it. The gestures. No, actually, it works out really well. Like because essentially, like, all right, so I change programs by alt-tabbing and then looking at the pictures and then clicking on the picture, right? So, because I love the arrow interface. This is kind of the same, but for launching a program. So I hit start. Well, my friend's got a Windows 8 PC. So you hit start, and then you just click on the icon of the program you want, and then it goes away. That's
similar to what you're used to doing anyway.
Yeah, so and it looks pretty, but the charms on it are absolutely fucking horrible. Like, for example, to shut down a computer, you have to swipe in from the top right-hand corner and then hit settings and then hit shutdown.
And see, where Windows 8 really fucking, like, falls flat for me is I run dual screen. And
yeah.
Windows 8 dual screen, like, fuck that. It does not work. That is so
fucked.
Well, the only good thing about Windows 8 dual screen, if you get the thing that brings back the Start menu, you get like, you know, a separate taskbar on your other screen that shows what's open on that screen. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, but the problem is when you have the gesture-based stuff and like you have to try to reach for the corner or whatever, the side, and that side shares the side with the other monitor. So you're like moving your mouse just so that it's on the proper screen and able
so
to then grab and do it.
Put your second monitor on the
bad.
Left like a proper person.
Well, let's just say this. Doing swipe gestures with a mouse is the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
It's just the dumbest thing. Oh, my God. I have to... Oh, fucking worse. But yeah,
I really feel K55A. I really feel like 8 is going to be the new ME.
Yeah, dude. It's going to be the OS. I'm not buying it. How about that? Like,
you mean the new Vista?
No.
No, even worse than Vista. It will be the new ME. Because fucking nobody will get
this
thing.
Vista went in a direction that 7 was built upon.
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
Nothing is going to build upon 8.
Yeah, I don't want to see what comes from 8.
No. Really? Everyone who actually has 8 or like use the, what is it called? The beta or whatever?
The
public beta?
Yep.
Actually really seem to like it. Everyone
who's
used it.
It's gotten a lot of high reviews because it's lighter than 7 was, which is saying a lot because 7's a pretty
It runs
light.
Slightly better than
but
7.
But it's an operating system. How does it have weight?
And it's...
The electrons that are...
Stop
transferred
it.
In the processor to run the processes.
All right, so moving along.
Too many things.
I hesitate to ask this noob because I feel like we should probably go ahead and move on. But noob, what have you been playing that you can legally talk about?
Okay, so it was Halloween this week, and it's
we said legally.
Not in New Jersey. It's Halloween on Monday in New Jersey.
That's probably legal
okay,
in Canada.
So, you know, Halloween is my favorite time of the year to hang out with my favorite little people, children. And I had a jolly old time hanging out with those kids who came over to my house. So, and I've been reading a book, like Shin Boy.
Is it World War Z?
No, it's Afghanisty.
The more
it's
you
like
talk,
the
more you talk about
Russians
that, noob, the more I'm scared you're not joking.
What? I'm not joking. What? You did kids not come to your house on Halloween, guys?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
No, actually, I did not get a single person to come to my house.
I left the door open and I was sitting right on the porch, like waving at the kids, and not enough kids came by.
One person,
and they were all with parents.
One person that I worked with brought her kids by because she heard me say that we were giving out full size candy bars. But they were
literally
the only people.
That is just a Why would you do that?
No, you gotta leave an empty bowl in front of your door. What do you mean, why would you take one?
No, why would you do full-size candy bars? That's ridiculous.
Oh, because you're going to be that awesome. You want to be the awesome house.
Yeah, you don't want to be the pretzel house.
You don't know. You don't want to be the fucking house that's the old lady giving out goddamn apples. That was going to be the last house that we went to, but instead we had to go to another one because
see, I enjoy.
No, you want. No, I'm just saying. Like, you don't want to be the house where all of the kids are like, these guys are giving out candy bars. Let's just go in over and over and over again.
No, because you're not a dumbass.
If you're that person working that house, you have to pay attention to the people coming. And if they come back again, you say, "Fuck off, go away."
Exactly. Yeah, you come see, like, back at the very end like of your run. So you circle around the neighborhood.
Costumes, what that word means.
If you come back with multiple costumes, then yes, you get another one because you get an A for effort.
Oh, speaking of warning signs. Yeah, totally. While I was down the street today checking on my grandparents' house, I saw a sign on one of the streets that said, looters will be shot and bodies thrown in the river.
Holy crap.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
I walk into my grandparents' house and in their hallway on, like, they have like, a little bar in
Oh, right. And I've been playing a little bit of war game European Escalation.
I actually thought and you were going
to say you had a rifle sitting right on top
and
of
Deus Ex Human Revolution. Sweet.
I actually thought Deus you were going to say you saw good. A sign of the lady.
Oh, you know what? You know what I did to Deus Ex? So I started playing it, right? And then I realized I had to be stealthy, so I just downloaded a trainer.
Oh, wow. That is...
Put the game on easy.
I did.
What I do is you just try and be stealthy, and there's a point in every stealth game where you just snap and everyone dies.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You put the game on easy, so that way when you snap, you don't die.
Yeah. What the fuck am I saying? War game, European Escalation, is a very good game.
Is that one of your random strategy games that you play?
No, it's actually like, it's not hardcore strategy. It's more of a, like an RT. Have you guys played Ruse?
No, I've seen it.
No, but I know of it.
Yeah.
So it's basically made by the same guys, and it is very similar, but it is absolutely aesthetically beautiful when you just move around the map. So I just turned on the game, pressed WASD to move around the map, and I sort of turned it off, and I do that a little bit every day, and it makes my heart flutter.
Great.
Like those little kids.
All right. So, Shinboy, I think we already talked about what you played, Pokemon Ruby.
Yeah. And I wanted to play Costume Quest, but that wasn't going to happen.
Oh, yeah, one of these years I'll get around to playing that game too. I only ever want to play it at Halloween time, and then I always have like seven other things to play instead.
Well, I mean, I was going to play it, but...
Like playing with little kids?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was going to play the Christmas DLC around Christmas, which I might still
do. God damn it.
God damn it, dude.
What? You don't like kids. I don't understand why you guys hate kids so much.
So I'll just quickly...
hate kids.
You have a kid, Durin.
You just scare me when you talk about kids like this.
What? I do
I can't
have
play
a kid
with
noob.
Kids. I'm not allowed to play with kids.
I also
Fuck
didn't
you.
Play just Pokemon Ruby. I played Metroid Fusion.
Yes!
That game's awesome.
I've never played it.
That's the only Metroid game I finished.
I think I own it and I've never played it.
It's one of the better Metroid games.
In fact, I think
it's
I own it.
My favorite Metroid
didn't
game.
Actually pay a dollar for it and I still haven't ever played it.
Okay.
I'm really upset though because the battery in my Pokemon Ruby died.
Oh,
really?
Cartridge.
Already?
So like this, the game came out like years ago.
The battery for my original Pokemon Red still works.
Yeah, so is mine. Oddly enough,
so the battery for my original Pokemon Blue still
well,
works.
It's not dead to the point where the save's not there. It's I don't know whether it was just because I was playing it in a DS instead of a standard GBA, but I loaded it up and it said the battery in this cartridge has run dry. Your save is still intact or something like that. But clock-based events won't work.
Oh, so, okay, yeah.
Oh,
that's interesting.
That's
so
actually
like,
totally fine.
I'm kind of upset because like there's Mirage Island, which you know I think appears on a timer. I don't know if it'll ever reappear.
Okay. I swear I was still able to get there. Because that happened to me as well. But I was
also I found that Pokemon asked the deep questions like, "Where do you come from?" And your two options are yes and no.
No, the real question is. Earth, that's not great. Plant, fire, or water?
Fire, obviously.
Thank you.
Yeah, always.
Blaziken.
I'm always grass. I'm always grass.
You're that guy.
You're a fool.
Yeah.
I think out of the what's the Earth's population? Like 7 billion plus. You are the only person on this planet that always chooses grass.
Well, my fire is usually OP. That's the problem. It's just what the hell?
It's not.
Because
why wouldn't you
is the hardest
the
one to start
one?
With.
No, only in the first game. After that, it was just been easy street.
I don't know. After this week, I'm convinced that water is OP.
Yeah, water's OP. Water's always OP.
Water's pretty strong. But again,
I'm not talking about Pokemon.
Well, like, water's... Well, no, actually, Shinboy, I think in that instance, fire's still OP. Because even during the hurricane, fires were still blazing and taking people's houses down.
Oh, really? That's crazy.
Yeah, like 100-something houses in Queens, was it, I believe?
I think so. So yeah, fire still wins.
Yep.
My logic behind always picking fire is that it's usually kind of hard to find fire at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, that's true.
Like water Pokemon.
That's pretty much always why I picked fire, because it's
you get
so
a fishing
long
rod. Although there's no fish, it's very hard to find the fishing rod.
What about Pikachu?
I feel like the way the starters work out is like fire is probably the hardest one to start with, but like as you go on and you finally start unlocking, like you're finding other fire Pokemon, it's easily replaced by a much stronger one. Water's really easy to replace, and it's very easy to start with early on, or somewhat. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to start with early on, but it's also very, very easily replaced very early on.
But you get pretty much the best grass Pokemon in the game out of the box.
Grass, I feel like, there's no difficulty to it.
He's the best of the worst. Who cares?
Grass is probably the shittest, aside from maybe Psychic. God.
Psyduck is awesome. You shut your goddamn mouth.
But,
Slowpoke is great. I will fight you over this.
No, I love the psychic Pokemon.
I
loaded my game up, and my Psyduck was the Pokemon who currently had my experience share.
No, the best the best Pokemon is you get a Starmie with Psychic and Thunder and Recover. And I forgot what the fourth one is.
God damn it. God
Hyper
damn
Beam
it.
Or some nonsense like that. Surf, just randomly.
Like, that's what
I was one of those players
surf,
who also
surf.
Just got all the legendaries at my starter. That was my team at the end of the game.
Like, it blew my mind the first time I found
out.
So I loaded up my game.
I was in the middle of the Elite Four at the Ice Person.
Okay,
I went with Fire. This won't be too difficult. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that for some fucking strange reason, all the other person's Pokemon were like level 50 to 52, and then there's like the 154. And like my highest level Pokemon was 46.
What?
Like, what am I doing here?
This is what you call a bad move.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, what was my former self thinking?
The way to play it is you fucking get one Pokemon, you put everyone else in the PC.
Just ride him through.
Just ride him through the Elite Four, and then the next Pokemon.
I was always super anal, and I had to have a full team of the exact same levels. Like, I was...
Oh, yeah. Fuck you.
There's Same. A reason I only beat the one Pokemon game.
What?
There's a reason I had Game Shark.
No, and that's exactly why I haven't really played a Pokemon game up to the extent that I did Pokemon Red, because they never made subsequent Pokemon games that allowed you to turn on Dodrio mode and just fucking fly through the Elite Four over and over and over again to train your Pokemon.
This is why you get an emulator, and you just use the game or the action replay built in.
Oh man,
yeah.
But... I got this new laptop. It's got a sweet graphics card in it. I'm still just going to be playing Phoenix Wright and shit on it. That's what it's for. Except for that and work. Like that, it's going to be Phoenix Wright and all the DS games and work. That's what it's.
I might have to start playing Pokemon Black 2 in class again. So,
are those 3DS games or are those DS games?
DS. I don't know if there's a working 3DS emulator, because I've been looking.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right, so we're an hour in, and we have not touched anything Guild Wars 2 yet. So
we talked about it for a second there, a little bit.
Just real quickly, I've played...
In reference, to how keyboards suck.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I played, like I said earlier, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Don't go into it, please. No. I played some Guild Wars 2, obviously, and then I've played a fair amount of Need for Speed Most Wanted. And that game's pretty fucking awesome.
Right.
Is single player as bad as everyone says it is?
Single player is not. I don't feel like it's as bad as people are making it out to be. I think that the cops are definitely a fucking pain in the ass and should just be patched out of the game. They're okay. Like, they're okay in the race events and stuff, but the like post race event is they're really annoying to get away from. And probably more than anything, like the most frustrating thing is coming up to an event that you're wanting to do, and then like you happened to be going too fast, and there's a cop around the corner, and then suddenly the cop is now coming after you, which means you can't start the event.
Well, that's how it works in real life. They don't want people speeding in real life because they played Need for Speed.
Like, you know? The idea of, like, cops pulling you or going after you for speeding, there's a reason that hasn't been in a Grand Theft Auto game in a long fucking time, because it's just not fun.
Because Grand Theft Auto isn't a realistic racing simulator.
Neither is Need for Speed.
You know, like, Need for Speed is.
Yeah. It's a street racing simulator. Come on, everyone knows. And
so
it
everyone
says
ends,
most
so
of
everyone
it
ends
right
up
there.
Dead by taking a goddamn turn?
Other than the cop issue, like, I don't feel like the single player is nearly as bad as a lot of people are making it out to be. I think a lot of people that were kind of not feeling the single player, or even maybe some people who are not feeling the game in general, I think a lot of that came from the pre-release hype of this is basically the next Burnout, which it's
Yeah,
not.
Which got me really excited. I was like Paradise, but licensed cars, sign me up.
Now, don't get me wrong, this is probably the closest to Burnout that Criterion's made since Burnout. But it is on a much smaller scale, and it's just like you can see some of the inner workings of Burnout in this game, but they are clearly still making a Need for Speed game.
Right? Because I really like the one from 2 years ago, Hot Pursuit.
Yeah, that one was really, really good. The way they handled the single player in this one, like again, there's not a story mode to it or anything. Like they described in the quick look they did on Giant Bomb. It basically just kind of throws you in, explains to you, hey, there's these 10 top wanted or 10 most wanted. You got to do these races and do these events to get your, basically you had to get enough points to have to unlock the ability to race against the next one on the list. And then once you've finished racing them and beaten them, then you got to go and basically take out their car in order to get their car. Like that's essentially how the entire progression works in terms of the most wanted stuff. The cool part is the ability to, like, where, like, all the cars are unlocked to you from the very beginning. Like, that part is actually really, really cool because, like, 20 minutes into playing the game, I was driving in a goddamn Formula One car.
Right.
Like, that's never happened in a Need for Speed game before, and that was fucking awesome. Like, I was flying down the highway at 160 miles an hour without nitrous.
I pretty much just want to ask, I want to get, who else here plays driving games? So, Durian does, I do.
I do on occasion. More arcadey ones than ones, but
right. And then how about you guys, Arangelus, Doubleton, you guys there?
It depends. Like yeah. I won't play Forza, but I'll play.
I drive BMPs in Arma 2.
I want to play Project Cars. Does that count?
Yeah. So
I really enjoy PGR racing when it's like eight people in house sort of thing doing cat and mouse.
Okay,
just, like that sort of thing. Just but
it's kind of non-standard racing.
So I'm a person who firmly rests on the side of simulation over arcadiness, except for Ridge Racer 3, because Ridge Racer 3 is one of the best driving games of all fucking time, R3.
What are your thoughts on kart racing?
I usually can't stand it.
What are your thoughts on pod racing?
Now this is pod racing.
Pod racing is awesome.
I hope they bring that back along with Jar Jar Binks in Episode 7. That's one of my favorite things from Star Wars.
Oh, God. Yeah, but they're gonna have Jar Jar fucking.
But no, if you're on the side of,
but he's the funniest thing. He revived
no Jar Jar Binks conversation. I am commandeering this podcast back to racing games.
But Cynic, if you're on the side of simulation, like this is definitely
this
not the game for you.
Yeah, this is not it for me. Like for example,
if you're on simulation,
what are you talking about? There's cops that arrest you for speeding, like real life. It's a simulation.
They don't arrest you for speeding. They try to destroy your car.
If you're getting the F1 car out of the gate, that's also not kind of the game. I love working my way.
Well, when I say I get out of the gate, I mean I happen to find the corner of the map where they were hiding it, and so I hopped into it. Like that's how progression in this game works. Like every car is unlocked to you from the beginning, but basically what it is that you can find these cars in what they call their jack spots, which are basically just kind of they're parked somewhere. Generally, like the more common ones, the slower cars. Are a lot easier to find. They're like maybe in a parking lot just off the side of the road or whatever. But a lot of those other ones that are kind of the faster, more rare cars, I guess, you kind of have to go a little bit more out of your way. I actually literally found one in an alley one time.
Cool.
And then once you found a jack spot, like you'll always have that jack spot unlocked. So you don't have to like go back and try to find it again. The one thing that kind of sucks though, and they've touched on this on the quick look as well, is if you want to swap back to another car in single player, you actually have to go back to that jack spot. Like, you don't have to physically go there, but it'll teleport you there.
They done fucked
that noise.
Burnout Paradise Garage.
The worst part about it, the worst part about it is in multiplayer, that is not the case. You can hot swap on the fly. It's like it's literally like it's two different games.
It's stupid.
Had they done the single player in terms of that stuff, the way they did the multiplayer, that game would have been fine easily, like, 4 out of 5 stars.
But the crazy thing is...
Which it got 4 out of 5 on Giant Bomb, which...
Yeah, it got 4 out of 5.
I don't understand single player his critiques.
Is a weak element of the game, but still not bad enough for it to not be a bad game. It's still an awesome game.
Similar to the way the Call of Duty games are handled, this game is clearly multiplayer first. And in that respect, this game is amazing. Because the multiplayer is... It's not just that the multiplayer is really good. It's that it's there's not really anything else like it out there for car games. Because, like, I hesitate to call it a racing game because most of the multiplayer isn't about racing. It's a competitive car game. But, like, a lot of those the challenges are things like hang out on top of this rooftop as long as you can. Whoever's here the longest wins. And so you get up to the roof of that,
so it's like
that building.
King of the Hill in cars.
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, you get up there and you basically just try to shove everyone else off. Like that is literally a challenge in this game. or like who can jump the longest off this ramp, but you have to go through this fucking cylinder pipe in order for the jump to count.
Oh yeah, and they had that in the Thousand Night Showdown. That looked interesting, I guess. I don't know. So,
but yeah, just
go play Project Cars and be happy.
It's a really good game, but I kind of still felt like I still felt the same way that they did when they were talking about it on the Thursday Night Throwdown, and that is that this game just more than Hot Pursuit just makes me want them to make a Burnout so bad. I know it's not going to happen, but it needs to happen.
I need more Burnout Paradise content.
It's a line in the sand.
See,
it shows that I'm a bad person. You don't like fun.
At least you can admit that.
Yeah, I'm a bad person. I don't like Burnout, so yeah.
This is a somewhat off topic.
Oh, you don't like fun?
Yes.
All right. At EA, what do you think's higher on the list? Another Burnout game or another Mirror's Edge?
Internally or like...
Ooh.
Like on the list of, all right, we need a game. We've got these ideas floating around.
Oh, I was going to pose
this. Which one's less at the bottom?
They've been prototyping Mirror's Edge games for a while.
Which one's likely to come out?
Because that depends,
because I've heard that like a Mirror's Edge might be in development, but Kinect.
Mirror's Edge has been in development.
Which makes me cringe while saying it.
Mirror's Edge has been in development in many companies.
But I mean, like if they get funding from Microsoft, it's like, well, we have to pay bills. Let's make this game because these guys are paying.
I would say Burnout though, because DICE is tied up in so much else between the Frostbite stuff and Battlefield.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I was trying to say. Mirror's Edge has been in development in many capacities for quite a while now. Mirror's Edge 2 by different developers.
Like DICE, yeah. Mirror's Edge 2, if it's not DICE, but if it's not DICE, I'm not buying it.
But that's the thing. Like answering your question, Revan, in the same respect with Criterion, like it's kind of the same idea. Like Burnout, I would love for them to make another Burnout. Criterion's not going to do it because Criterion has been handed the license for Need for Speed. Like they are the sole Need for Speed developers now. So
no, because that wasn't the part of that, the fact that they still want to do a Burnout game and they're getting enough what do you call it, positive sentiment with EA for them to eventually allow them to do that.
Maybe, but like I feel like that might have been the case before The Run came out, but after The Run came out and fucking tanked, like EA had no choice but to pull Black Box off of Need for Speed and hand it wholly over to Criterion, because clearly they're the only ones that can make a Need for Speed game that sells anymore. And so to take that chance of allowing them to not make another Need for Speed and make a Burnout instead, like that's the thing. The Burnout game is highly regarded with fans, but the Need for Speed name sells.
Sells like crazy.
Just make everything that's a Burnout game and just call it Need for Speed.
So what they need to do is they need to make the next one. Just make the next one called Need for Speed : Burnout. Yeah.
No,
don't even nod towards
Need
for
Burnout. Let me make an adjustment to that name. Need for Speed : Burnout, a Criterion game.
Yes.
In association with DICE.
Frostbite 2. Nice.
So can we talk about Jar Jar Binks in the new Star Wars?
No, actually,
we talk about Jar Jar Binks in the new Guild Wars?
We're going to go on to Guild Wars 2 right now.
He's going to drown. He's going to be killed by Bubbles, the underwater dragon.
He is right. Bubbles, the underwater dragon.
Oh, so shit.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I will fly out to...
Well, you know, man, George Lucas is no longer the head of LucasArts, so they just hired him
If they bring Jar Jar Binks,
that's the best thing to happen to Star Wars.
God, I am fucking done.
That's the best thing to happen to Star Wars.
Yeah, it is.
Yep, Jar Jar Binks. Look, Jar Jar Binks saved the Star Wars franchise. Let's be honest.
His humor and
his characterization and just him being in the movies just made Star Wars watchable. All of that other shit, especially Star Wars Episode 5, was just boring. And then like the humor of Jar Jar Binks made it so bad. Good.
Noob, I just hope that someone somewhere at Disney, some random employee
working at cash register at the Animal Kingdom is sitting there thinking to himself, guys, we have this license. Let's make Battlefront 3.
Oh. Oh my god. You know what? I did not think about that after this whole thing went down. That would be the best thing
to come out of this. I want to play as a Gungan in Battlefront 3.
Like after seeing the pre-alpha footage of Battlefront
3. Oh, that was weird.
It was weird, but like that made me realize how much I wanted a Battlefront 3.
Yep.
Like I'd forgotten how much fun and how awesome those games were. And god damn it. All right, moving on.
But now that we're in the age of proper online play, come on.
Yeah, all the more reason why we need it.
Yeah.
Okay, first
what if they outsource to the fucking dice somehow?
No. ArenaNet is offering a solution for Hurricane Sandy victims, I guess, for people affected by Hurricane Sandy in regards to the Mad King stuff. So obviously a lot of people were hit by, you know, that storm hit like right on in kind of in the beginning of the Mad King stuff, right? Like it was when it was really starting to ramp up, because I think the storm hit like
it was like right after Act 3.
Okay.
The day after.
Yeah. So a lot of people, you know, obviously lost power as along with much worse things.
Boats,
yes. in ArenaNet's basically their solution to that was there's going to be a fake Mad King Thorn actor that will be sticking around until November 15th.
They hired Norlan North to sit around.
God,
all day
that'd be amazing if he voiced it. he's going to hang out until the 15th to ensure that those who couldn't play during the storms can still receive the attend the party achievement. So if people miss the final event, they'll be able to go and speak to him at the Grand Piazza in Lion's Arch and receive both the achievement and
where the fountain used to be.
Yeah, where the fountain used to be.
Yeah. That's actually like that's really cool. Like clearly they couldn't just extend the event. Like that wouldn't really make a lot of sense. They already kind of
Like I bet they could. They still have the code lying around. They could run it again.
Well, no, it's not a matter of like having the code
and all that. And like and explain like we can't do this. And I didn't actually read about it, but whatever. Been told it was like part of the explanation was we have something planned for the 15th that we found out this week and it was like they didn't
the Jar Jar Binks update
so we'll get into that in a minute but like literally there was actually a reason why this couldn't go that long.
Okay. All right, that's as long as they said they got in the forums and told us why, I'm happy.
Yeah So like that's actually a really good solution. Like at least if nothing else, the people can still like it's even one thing for them to be able to get the achievement, but like to also be able to get the hat as well, like that's actually really cool that they're even going that hat.
Yeah, because there's no way in hell I was going to be able to get that on Wednesday, and
me neither.
This podcast, I got that achievement title and hat, so I'm happy.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So, and then also, even if you weren't affected by the hurricane, if you ended up missing it, like I did, you'll still be able to go in there and get the achievement and the Halloween hat. So it works out for everybody.
Yeah, and there's hours of video of it, so you can watch that. I don't think we should spoil it here, but
why?
Yeah, I would say relive the experience.
It's true.
I guess if you really want to see it for yourself, out of the fountain. I guess YouTube it. But yeah, so like the first one was the Mad King came out of the fountain, right? But then did he actually come out? Because I didn't catch the ending.
He came out.
He came out of that
around,
fountain and said he was
and did Mad King says
Balthazar.
He did Mad King says.
Did he actually do Mad King?
He actually did Mad King says.
Straight up did Mad King says. Yeah,
I'm fucking pissed. I missed this. Fuck you. Storm. I wanted to play Mad King Says.
Like the second he said we're gonna play a game feared and revered by everyone in Tyria, I was like, oh, Shinvoy's gonna miss this.
Oh man. I wanted to play Mad King Says.
The best part was he was doing it all day long.
That's pretty
Don't
cool.
worry, really? Shinvoy, I'll get in my Mad King Thorn costume and then I'll drive down to Hobbiton and then we can shout.
Hobbiton?
I mean play Hobbiton.
Hobbiton?
Yeah, Hobbiton. New Zealand. Hobbiton.
Yeah, New Zealand.
He's going to drive to New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, by the Canadian New Zealand bridge. They built that
just
recently.
Turn left
to
Albuquerque, and you're right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not in Canada.
Fucking Bugs Bunny. No. Fucking Bugs Bunny.
So last week we were talking about Albuquerque. Last week we were talking about the changes they had recently made to WubWeb to kind of make things balanced out. And one of the things that somebody had brought up was, you know, did they do anything with the orbs? And the answer at the time was no. Well, they've done something with the orbs. They just fucking removed them.
Nice.
Good. Good.
That's hilarious.
So they basically said that they've removed the orbs of power to address the hacking / exploiting issues. It sounds like they might come back or something like them might come back at some point later on. But they're just kind of working on a way for it to work out where, you know, it won't be fucking broken like it was before.
Just place, like, anti-aircraft guns around it so anyone who flies gets shut down.
No, the issue with that is they would have to fix the glitch where it spawns enemy protectors around that location and breaks the shit. That was a great...
I love that that was the solution, though. Like, there was this hacking issue with these things that, like, were, you know... Well, we could do this. We could do that. No, let's just fuck it. Let's just pull them out. Fuck it. You guys, you know, you can't play nice with toys, then you can't play with toys at all.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, I was like, this is why we can't have nice things. Exactly what I was thinking.
I like it. It's a good way. I'd prefer that to band-aiding it and just fucking doing a terrible job of it.
You know what, you guys? We put these things in to help make the game more fun. You fucking exploited it. We're taking them out.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Well, they weren't nice things. So many people just fucking fucked with them. There was never a good... And plus, even in the betas, when we were playing WoW, it wasn't that fun to get an orb and bring it back to a keep. Like, at all. Yeah. So, whatever.
Yeah. So I like, even if the... Like, I'm almost kind of glad the exploiting was happening, because, like, maybe this will make them, like, bring something else in that's a bit more fun to do. Like,
it also shows they are paying
attention
to
like,
WoW
entertaining
balance.
Dynamic. Yeah, exactly. That's definitely true too.
Wait, so have there been any other changes? Because I've been out of the loop. So have there been any other changes to WoW to make it good?
They haven't talked in specifics, but they've fixed a lot of the exploits that have been happening.
Okay.
Kind of one of the last ones something. Was the flying and the overpower issue. So they kind of, you know, fixed that by just removing it. But other than that, they're basically just kind of focusing on the exploit stuff before they make any kind of major changes, I think, to it. Kind of similar to the way they're handling the regular game.
They did talk about how they are working and theorizing about changes, and they're just trying to figure out the right path to go to make it to balance the whole when one server owns everything, how does the other server get back in the fight?
Yeah.
Because that's still a tough issue.
Yep.
But they haven't actually, you know,
make
made
them like damn near invincible.
And like that's I said before, like in regards
well,
to
well,
the,
then it's going to be like we don't want you here because we want this invincibility buff.
Yeah.
And so that's like you can't have a balance like
and
that.
And like I said, in regards to the orbs, they said that those or some similar mechanic may return in the future, but only if they're confident that they won't create similar issues. So like it's not to say that the orbs are gone for good.
Like the altars are still there, and like the map style is still like befitting an orb at the top and north point rather.
Yeah, so like the nice part is it's like it's not only a matter of I feel like it's not only a matter of like the issue of people having exploited them, but like you said, Cynic, also that it just wasn't fun either. So like they're not just gonna reintroduce it if it just can't be exploited.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they're also not gonna reintroduce it if they can't find a fun way for it to fit in.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was going to say that's kind of what WoW needs, something fun to do, but that's kind of backhanded in a very terrible way. But there's definitely a lot of work that needs to be done there. And I'm at least happy, again, as I said before, that they're not abandoning it. They're actually trying to think of ways to come up with solutions to the problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, WoW. Speaking of WoW. They released the most recent rankings, and Yak's Bend is consistently mediocre. We are still in 11th place. Though. It's not bad. I mean, there were quite a few people that moved down. There were actually a lot of people that just kind of stayed the same. So we're not in a bad place.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
The issue with us staying the same was not that we didn't do good last week, as well. We really didn't, but we moved up two entire tiers the week before.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. How did the past week like? How'd it go? Because I missed most of it.
Second place. I mean, we were trailing by, I think at the end we were trailing by 30 or 40,000, but then
that's not terrible.
The people in third place were trailing by like 80,000.
Oof.
Oh.
Yeah, that's going like, to be the issue we would, this week too for the two people we're facing. They're going to be behind us.
Trailing us by 80,000?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Geez. Oh.
There was some nightcapping done last night or sorry, this morning.
those fucking Quebecois.
Damn yeah, you know, Thurib, I was actually even, like, I was still awake whenever you guys were going to be getting back on again. And I was playing Assassin's Creed, and I thought about hopping back over, but then I was like, no, because if I do, I'm not going to go to bed till 6 in the morning.
It was actually best, because a lot of people stayed up late, and then got tortured by Riven with his jukebox.
Oh, it's not, let's yeah, just I'm glad not I went get to bed. Into that.
Wait, I'm glad I went how, to bed. What? How could it no, possibly be
we,
bad?
We can't actually speak of that. Because we want people to get you on a Mumble still.
Okay, sure. Okay.
It was not entirely my fault. I had enough people of Mumble.
I'm calling out subjugation. I helped him with his jukebox issues. Like this sounds he's using great. His powers for evil.
This sounds fantastic.
Instead of good. So subs, if you're listening, just know that I'm extremely disappointed in you.
Anything done by subs and Revan sounds awesome to me. I'm absolutely
awesome. I'm disappointed in.
Awesome. Yes, I'm there. Next time, maybe, possibly, I don't know.
Like... A week ago, I came on Mumble and Subs was in his own channel listening to the jukebox. And
he wasn't listening to it. He was trying to fix it.
No. He was literally just sitting there playing games while listening to it.
Like, why wouldn't you just, you know, have it on like normal?
I don't know. Anyways, so I come in and then...
You know, I prefer to listen to my music at 72
or K-pop. And he's like, you like this music, don't you? And I'm like, no.
Wait, Subs was listening to K-pop?
This is the greatest.
He turned on K-pop the second I started coming in.
Subs is the greatest.
Great.
Subs is great.
So wait, hold on. Are you saying
it's perfect?
Your coming like coincided with the K-pop?
No. I came in there, and then he's like, "How about some music you'd like?" And then he started playing K-pop.
Fuck yeah! Good subs. Good man.
I'm still disappointed in you.
Yeah. Teach me how to use the jukebox so I can play music I like.
Does it look like WoW's in flux, or is everyone kind of finding their niche?
I think it's still in flux.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's still in flux because, like, it's a good example for this week is we're facing Eridon Terrace, who is they're just having a real bad time because they had, from what I've been told, like 200 people, like a big WoW guild, leave their server last week, and so they've been hemorrhaging the whole time.
Wow.
Like
that's still my biggest problem is the server transfers.
Yeah, they did increase it to if you want to server transfer, you can't do it for another week. You have to stay with that server for a week, but that still sort of fits with the style of the bandwagon player
who just wants to go.
I'm looking at the matchups now, and you look at, like, say, the top matchup, which is, like, you know, always like Stormbluff, Jade Quarry, and Blackgate, and I'm looking at the matchups right now online, and they are within 600 points of each other.
That's pretty awesome.
Last, like, you know, third to first.
The server change issue though too. The server change issue though too. Like the other issue we ran into last night with that was that we were running into having spies on our server feeding information to other servers because it's free transfer.
Yeah, but I mean, like that's you like if we get into a like I'm sure Stormbluff Jade and Blackgate has that sort of thing happening because they are. Consistently fighting each other.
Yeah,
that is the EVE Online mentality of like you know right. some rich like
and that wouldn't be that wouldn't be a problem if that was actually a function built into the game. But it's something they are only exploiting right now while transfers are free.
At the moment, it's an exploit.
Yeah, like if free transfers were just a part of the game, I would have no issues with it. In fact, last night whenever people were talking about it, I was like, that's kind of cool. You know that people are taking it to that level or whatever. Like. I can respect it to some extent, but then after you mentioned like that, oh, well, it's only because of free transfers, and you know when those are gone, it won't happen anymore. Like, oh, well, yeah, that's true. So that's actually just them exploiting the game.
Yeah, it's just
I don't think. I think it will still happen. It just may not happen to like somebody in our battle group, so to speak, like in our tier. But I think it'll still happen where people have just a second account.
Oh, and top tiers, yeah, because it's going to be legitimately competitive on that level. But to some extent, that's a good thing. Like, if it's just a problem that affects people who are all doing that, because that's what happens in top tier play. Like, that's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Then it's fine. But it's when you have things like a 200 man guild moving to a different server because of whatever, that kind of stuff kind of kills a significant element of this game.
Yeah, definitely.
And wait, so do you guys think that them moving eventually to paid server transfers will be a huge detriment to Guild Wars 2? Like, just how that would affect other elements of the game?
I think it would still be the
best thing. I think in terms of WoW, that's going to be the best thing to happen to it.
Yeah, it won't be a detriment because they'll wait until guesting's in before they do it.
Yeah,
I can't wait for guesting to happen because there's people on other servers I want to play with in a PvE sense.
Yeah.
And I can't do that.
I have two friends that are playing on two other servers that none of us can play together because of there being no... I mean, without, straight up holes transfer over, like, we can't really play together until guesting is done.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that would be great.
Yeah, like, I've played with people on Sea of Sorrows, I think. I think that was a server. But anyway, but that was only in the dungeon sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it wasn't just...
And like, those friends actually... One of those friends actually transferred to the other server, and they were trying to get me to transfer, and the problem is that I'm like, I can't really do that because I'm kind of an officer in a large guild on this server, so that's just not going to happen. So, like, for the time being, we just can't plan together, and it does suck. But at the same time, like Shinboy said, like, they're not going to release the paid transfers until the guesting. So at least there's that.
Yeah. And guesting is going to be absolutely awesome when that comes in. I can't wait.
I just hope
when the game first came out, they said guesting was working and that they were just waiting until until World vs. World was like smoothed out.
Right.
And now guesting is not working and World vs. World is not smoothed out because of that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem.
On top of that, I they say that, sure. I don't fucking believe them. Because at no point in the betas did they ever have guesting in.
No, they had it on the first beta weekend, I think.
No.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it worked at some point.
No, because from the first beta weekend, they had you get 1,200
gems. They just give you gems
for free,
yeah.
And you can switch servers with those gems. You couldn't guest. They've to my knowledge, except for the closed beta, and I know some people out here have been the press betas, maybe it worked there, but...
Definitely not me.
but the...
Do you still have an NDA on that, or is it gone?
It's probably still there.
I can't
tell
you.
I think that NDA is
still there.
Those NDAs, they don't go away.
So
if he had one, it would still be there.
Yeah, if I had played in that beta, I would still be under a non-disclosure agreement.
They're betting our podcast.
She wasn't on my account, so shh.
By the time this goes out, that won't happen.
Yeah, just edit that out in post.
But yeah, so like maybe it was there at some point, but they've never been able to do it on a large scale. Anyway, I find it difficult to believe that they have it built. That aside, the game's been out for like 2 months now, so maybe it's ready.
Guild Wars 2 came out.
Are we going to be doing like our speculation as a different topic, or do you want to just start it here?
Different topic.
Okay, right? Sure.
I want to talk about something that three of us on this podcast did this week.
Oh, God.
It was actually like the day after we recorded the podcast.
We're definitely
going to get to that. That's
okay. Cool.
We aren't ending this podcast without that.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and move on to the next thing, which was a little bit of news about their next update, which kind of ties into what we were talking about earlier.
Oh, that really small update. I don't know why we're talking about it.
About why they can't extend the Halloween update, and that's because there is a November 15th update coming out. So we've gotten a little bit of teaser stuff about that as well.
It's just a Thanksgiving thing. It's really stupid.
Run me through the tease.
I want to know what Thanksgiving's like for you guys in Canada, because this is like this update is nothing like America.
No, right? So the tease.
Well, basically, in Canada, every Thanksgiving it's like Groundhog Day, except there's just beached whales on our shores, right? yeah.
Yeah, and so when the whale, if an even number of whales beach, it's going to be winter forever, right? And then if an odd number of whales beach, then maybe you'll see some sunshine next.
And months. And then there's these posters, like Thanksgiving posters, put up with like weird Native American language, and yeah, that's what it's about. That's
so real quickly,
it's actually the happy update. Whale in like Native Indian clothes,
and
waving
use
with
the
its
whale
fin.
Oil to blink around like a thief.
Yes.
Tied together.
Wait, isn't Dishonored like isn't one of the big industries there? Whale oil.
Yeah, that's what everything runs off.
Yeah,
apparently.
So the update is basically titled "The Lost Shores." They put a teaser out about it, talking about the Sea of Sorrows, with a tagline saying, "Unravel a mystery of monstrous proportions in the Lost Shore is a massive one-time world event that will change Tyria forever." And they posted a few screenshots along with it. But that was really all they kind of put out about it. But there's been some other stuff.
Like, this is stuff they advertised. Yeah. You can find this on like the main Guild
Wait,
Wars
so
website.
Where is the Sea of Sorrows again? Like in relation to, like, for example, Lion's Arch?
Oh, Sea of Sorrows is...
West?
Yeah, I think it's southwest of Lion's Arch.
So that's in the direction of... not Kanta. Well, yes. Kanta's southeast, isn't it? No, that's Kanta.
It's southwest. Like due south.
No, right. This is not Kanta. This is...
In ye olde Tyria maps, it's pretty much like, you know where Claw Island is?
Yep.
That's on like the top right outskirts of the Sea of Sorrows.
Okay, so it's just directly like south of Lion, not further down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So,
like, right next to where we all think the Dominion of Winds is, or where the Dominion of Winds is. Right.
Wait. So all I did was north explain of Canadian of Thanksgiving, but we never actually explained the event. Let someone do that.
So it's basically just north of the Ruins of War. Is where it's
right.
located.
You go, okay. If you zoom out on your Guild Wars 2 map, there's an area called Sea of Sorrows.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, like somebody mentioned there, if you go to... Lion's Arch, you will totally find like beached whales, or at least one, as well as some new ships that have shown up. And this is live in the game now.
Yeah.
As well as some posters that are, I guess, in some non-English language.
It's Cree.
That have been translated elsewhere, but Revan didn't get that memo. And decided to translate them himself.
I did not translate it myself. I translated it with the help of some guildies.
Okay.
And what the we fuck did, we, you... How?
There's a guide on the wiki.
There's a guide on the wiki.
I mean, the posters are really high res.
Yeah.
I mean, you can read them.
We just went character by character for about half an hour.
Wait, and these directly translated into English? That's kind of...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's how they'd make them in the first place.
The translation's kind of rough.
You use the decoder ring that you get from the cereal box.
Oh, man, if only. So basically...
Oh, if I Guild Wars 2 cereal.
There's cereal rationing in Canada, so I don't get to eat cereal.
What?
God.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't be eating cereal. You should be going to the donut place.
And the posters are basically
Tim Hortons.
Another thing kind of
New York City
at this place.
Timbits. You should eat Timbits, guys.
That just, place being Lion's Arch, Jordan?
What's that?
That place being Lion's Arch? What's that place?
He's
trying to get Durin back into it. What's up, Durin?
I'm trying to get back in, but goddamn it, we're never having six people on this podcast again, I swear to God.
It's actually gone surprisingly well. I thought it'd be way more of a disaster.
You're not trying to run this show.
Well, it's fully apart as we speak.
Okay, back on topic. Those posters are like... kind of written in a piratey sort of way, kind of advertising this island as like a vacation, like a beach vacation. I mean, obviously we're just going to go there and hang out.
One of the sentences on those posters is, "Are you ready?"
Yeah. A-R-R, you ready? I mean, it starts off with a vast ahoy, all ye landlubbers.
Okay, I like it. Okay, wait, do you have a full translation?
Yeah, I have a full translation here. It says, "Avast, ahoy all ye land lovers."
My favorite is a danger, enter at your own risk sign. I can
The hardworking members of the consortium are proud to announce the upcoming unveiling of your dream vacation. Coming soon, we will open the gate, the Asura Gate, connecting Lion's Arch to a veritable tropical paradise of magnificent proportions. Swim in the waters, with a star. Relax on the beach, with a star. Dance the night away, with a star. Prepare to host your Jolly Roger and to embark on a most majestic adventure with your favorite band of salty dogs. Are you ready? And then, letting you know, towels are not included. The consortium cannot be held responsible for aquatic-related and rhythm-related injuries or other injuries related to misadventure or otherwise general buffoonery. Our medical staff will be on call to happily ignore your needs should they inevitably arise.
Points to Anna for just using buffoonery.
Yeah.
Yes.
Landlubbers, R, and buffoonery. Like...
Mm-hmm.
A plus.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is due for... So this has started now-ish, and it's going to be due in what?
The big major event...
The middle of November.
Yeah, the big major event is like the 15th.
15th, 16th? Something like that.
That's the Thursday. So,
going back to the earlier topics, if Durin can beat Assassin's Creed before, like, you know, before this update, he can use this to sort of, like, you know, get off the Creed, you know, mentality.
Oh, yeah.
Then when it comes out a couple days later, he'll be ready for it.
Oh, man, you don't...
The island is run by the Templars.
You never just get off the Creed. It's not that easy.
I'm fighting the
Creed,
urge
like the band?
I'm fighting the urge to start singing a fucking Creed song.
I'm in my own prison. This.
Which Creed
song? Just listen to Nickelback.
So, in an interview on Guild Wars 2 Guru, they got a little bit more information about what's going to be in the November 15th build. They will have a beta version of a new structured PvP map for people to test and give feedback on. And if people like it, then they'll add it to the permanent rotation. But, okay. Like, that's really cool. I feel like they should have done that with...
Capricorn,
whatever it's called, yeah.
I really like Capricorn.
I like the cannon on Capricorn.
It's okay, but I feel like...
I killed like six people at once.
I feel like had they approached it the same way they did with this, it wouldn't be in the permanent rotation. Because the general consensus is it's not very good.
Okay. Because people don't like underwater.
Yeah. Well,
oh, fuck underwater.
I still feel like if they're going to do underwater, they need to actually... They need to fucking go for it, and they didn't go for it in that one.
How about like an underwater tunnel where you're just fighting on land?
One of the issues with the underwater is you can't like 1v1 retake the ruins because of those sharks.
Yeah.
And no, also, I've done it with my warrior. A lot of people have to change their skill sets because half of their skills don't work underwater.
Yep.
Yeah, that's an issue. That's one
elite
things.
Works underwater. Fucking one.
I think the thing is there a way in the PvP lobby to set your underwater?
Yes, there's a little underwater area you can go in and set all that stuff.
Yeah, but I think the biggest thing with underwater stuff is that they didn't do a good enough job of having a lot of it in the single player. The campaign, I guess you'd have to call.
Oh, really? I think they added too much fucking underwater shit.
One fucking mission where you are underwater the entire time.
Oh, the story mission one?
No, the entire section. If you chose like the Hylek or the Quaggan side of one of the stories, you're literally on the water missions forever.
Yeah,
let me give you a hint. You can go on land. The enemies will follow you. That's what I did.
No, I'm not talking about the Kray ones. I'm talking about the Quaggan ones.
Yeah.
Well, the Quaggan ones would follow you as well.
They will follow you on land.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't want to pour everything into the land.
Like, the land was close enough.
How many people do you actually think went that far in the story, though?
Most people.
That's pretty far.
I got my packed weapon.
Nice.
I don't have my packed weapon yet. I want it.
Yeah, I need to get back in. I think I'm on like the level 73 story mission, so I'm
oh,
real close.
Dude, Durin, me and you are on the same story mission. We should do it together and
have
showers
for like
together.
A month. God damn it, guys! Not that I've finished the game. I'm at level 56 or some shit. So.
You're making that joke all fucking day.
It's not a joke. I'm extending him a hand into my shower. Or my bathtub. Whatever.
So one of the other things they're adding, of course, is the week-long event that is supposed to supposedly permanently change the world in some places. It opens up the new island to explore. The new island's not going to be a full-on zone. It's more of just a smaller map area that is focused around this event. Though after the event, it will still be around and they will still continue to add activities there.
Do you think they're going to have waypoints and points of interest and stuff to screw up people who have stars?
Oh, God.
I don't think they're going to add all that down there, no.
No.
Yeah, okay. I don't think so. I mean, like, once
it sounds like it's going to be pretty small.
Yeah, don't unachievement. Do we think, like, they said a medium-sized map, so what do we, like, do we think, like, Claw Island is a medium-sized map?
No.
Yeah,
Claw
I would say
Island
so.
Claw Island is not a medium-sized map.
I think a lot small.
I think a little bit bigger.
Yeah, the two places I've seen it described, it's being described as a very small map that is focused specifically around this event.
Okay, so then there's probably Claw Island signs. I can see.
Maybe it's just Claw Island.
Yeah, just a reskinned Claw Island.
What happened?
Well, maybe I'm saying maybe it's just like, you know, Claw Island.
That's what it is, Claw Island.
There you go.
They're also adding a new, they say a new type of dungeon to it. And the dungeon is going to get harder as you go further into it.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It'll be really big with a ton of levels. There will also be new rewards added to the game that are buried deep within that new dungeon. So it sounds like the kind of thing, like, you're not just going to run through it and that's it. Like, it's going to be...
We're exploring everything.
There's no
ideal path, so you can just run through and get everything. You're going to have to explore the entire map if you want to get everything.
Which sounds awesome.
Okay, you mean, like a, you mean like a dungeon where you're actually having fun spending 5 hours in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had fun.
I'm not alluding to anything. I don't know about you guys.
I had fun for most of those 5 hours.
Wait, which
one did you play? I think about an hour and a half period where we weren't having fun.
Which is this? This sounds great.
Well, okay, so yeah, we'll go ahead and that's pretty much all that Thurb, you linked something that has a bit more information in there. Right. I just kind of glanced through it, but
yeah, that page is really good. I've been reading.
Can we talk about the map? I want to talk about the
map. So I will say that some Reddit users have seen in the build there were three new ships in Lion's Arch with a Sanctum Harbor waypoint, a Claw Island Portage waypoint, and a Sanctum Harbor waypoint or Sanctum Harbor Bay. Now, okay. I don't know exactly what that means.
But basically, what we're saying is,
isn't Sanctum Harbor where Sanctum K is in the original Guild Wars? That small island off of.
Yeah,
I feel like that would make sense.
But basically, we're saying is like people who previously explored Lion's Arch and are interested in this kind of like content, run around Lion's Arch some more. There's more new stuff for you to check out because pretty much everything that they're adding as like a teaser is in LA.
Posters all over LA.
Which is really cool that like
I love LA.
The last event just ended. This one's already starting up, and it's sounding like this is kind of their plan. Like every month. Yep. There's going to be something like this.
I kind of hope so, and I kind of hope not at the same time, because then I'll feel like I'll always be missing something if I don't play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks that they're just that like...
I'm like honestly okay with if that's the case, because I would rather feel like I'm missing things if I'm not constantly playing, rather than every other MMO where it's like... Feel like I'd rather the guilt of needing to play be because I'm missing content and not because I'm throwing money away if I don't play.
Yeah, that's
true. I hope they add costumes every month so you make people pay money like I did. I paid $20 on those fucking costumes.
What I'd love to see is like they have these advertised weeks or like months, so to speak, of like the Halloween, this event in November, and then they've also announced that what's the winner's thing?
Winter's Day.
Yeah, that's been confirmed to be for December. But then, like, they also have just quiet months that have just a ton of stuff that's just events.
Winter's Day
in
July.
Yeah, like maybe January instead of having a big event, maybe that can be a month where they just like maybe
there's
swap
400
out
new events in the world.
Yeah, boom. Yeah, like swap out some of that dynamic events and put some new ones in that month.
Or randomly, they don't tell you when it's going to happen.
Cantha New Year
happens.
Well, do you think they'll have
Mega Cantha
New Year without
Cantha? In LA.
What was that last part, Shinboy?
I say where the bridge by all the dungeon vendors in LA, just Mega Shark from the movies like, comes up and eats the bridge.
But I think my problem with this is there's a word which we were using seconds ago before my dad came into my room was missing. Like that word I don't like. I love the fact that there are some events, for example, the Mad King ones, which are once off and once only. But I hate missing content and feeling obligated to do things. And these not that they've announced that they'll be forcing you to do this, but I really do hope that any content they add, like any major content, like a whole island,
is not limited time only.
Exactly. Like I can come back to it, say in a couple months after I finish playing Dishonored,
like,
that kind of stuff.
Like with this content, like you may miss the big event, but like the island will still be there after the fact. You can still go there and there will be activities there to do. And like every other zone in the world, they will continue adding new content and new activities there as well.
I want those costumes to be able to buy forever.
So like if that's how they handle it, where like there's a big event that unlocks this new area, and that's a one-time event, but then the area is always there for you to go there and do the activities and stuff. Like I don't see a problem with that.
That's a good middle ground, and it gives people who like events that stuff. And I'm happily one of those people who don't. I just don't like events. I don't like Guild Wars 2 when there's a billion people.
I like them when they work.
Which is never.
Not when they crash the server like the Mad King one did.
Wow.
What I'd like to see.
It crashed the entire game. Like, it crashed Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
The game was down for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
What was nice is we had the entire, like, we had as many Lincoln Force people as we could in the same instance of LA.
Yep.
And then they did the whole event thing. It's like, oh, it's a dungeon. So we all just zerged it and then just scattered.
Who was it that was on top of the lion statue?
Loopy Monkey, I think.
Yeah,
Loopy Monkey got up to the top of the lion statue when the developer specifically said, we made it so no one can get up there. And then when the thing exploded, his body was still just right up there, and he clipped into it.
That's awesome.
So they don't get reported, I will say that they got a Mesmer portal up there. They don't know how the original person got up there.
Oh, okay, right. So someone else got up there, put down
Mesmer. Someone else got up there. Mesmer trickery.
Yeah. Yes.
Indeed. But yeah, I'm fine with there being one-off events. That's
To be fair, that one-off event for Halloween was a cutscene.
What do we think this one-off event will be, seeing as the other one was that cutscene?
Yeah, I don't
know. I'm assuming we've discovered a new path.
Well, I think it's something
coming out of the water.
It has to be something bigger than just,
have a path, because island.
They're talking about an event that is going to change the face of Tyria. Like, that's a big, bold claim to
Bubbles.
Make.
Dude.
Well, I'm assuming, I think they're just going to say, we've discovered something. They're not changing anything existing. I mean, if you
at
the maps.
They are. Like, that. It said just as much. Like, they are changing things.
Like, they're adding ships to the docks.
I think something comes out of the water.
Like, when you look at the map, I'm just assuming they've literally just found a new part of Tyria. Or Kryta. Tyria. And they're like, that's crazy. That's it. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Like, the bullet point from the interview on with Colin Johansson that is on Guild Wars 2 Guru, it specifically says in there that they are going to... I just lost it.
Are we doing the speculation now?
Changes to the world in some places and opens up a new island that people can explore. So, like, aside from the island, there will be changes elsewhere.
I think, it'll be, more flooding.
Maybe. Because didn't when
I don't know if I can handle more flooding.
I feel like the line
saying to unravel a mystery of monstrous proportions. And then, there's going to be changes to places other than just that island. Like, I feel like there's going to be a large boss being added to this, and it's going to be something that does things to other zones other than just the new one.
I guess, yeah, maybe it'll be,
like a traveling boss, maybe?
I don't know, because maybe in that area, they said it's for all levels and it'll be scaled up. But I'm thinking, maybe they add... we refer to the underwater dragon as Bubbles. Maybe they'll add his champion. Because so far we have the champion of Jormag, Krakatorik, and Tequatl, I think, is technically Zaitan's champion.
So
maybe they add that one as
the boss. Add the Tentacle of Bubbles?
The Tentacle of Bubbles, yes. That's what we will refer to it as.
So yeah, I don't know.
Map-wise, it seems to be in a weird place. That doesn't seem like...
Eh. If you look at the map, and I want to say Sparkfly... There is a route that looks like it just leads into another zone, but it actually...
Yeah,
there's plenty of routes that do that.
If you look south of Claw Island, there's another big old island there. That's roughly the size of Claw Island. Yeah. That's in the middle. It's like part of it is on the F and Sea of Sorrows on the map.
Like, they're keeping a lot of spaces open in case they want to do something new, and that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm going through and just kind of glancing at some of the stuff that... Reddit posters have found about this event kind of in the game. And one person found a map in the game, and it just looks kind of like a map of Tyria, but there are two dark spots, and when you compare that to the map of the world itself, I'm having a hard time seeing exactly where this is.
If you're on that Dolphy page, is a map of the in-game map, and it has red arrows pointing.
Yeah. So if you go check that out it's on Dolphy.net, but there's a link to it from Guild Wars 2 Guru. You can see where those are pointing. And those are, clearly at least one of those is an area in the game. The other one's actually over on the peninsula off the coast of Crystal Desert, which is not an area in the game currently, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking that's just, it's an old map and it was torn and it's nothing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
I don't think any of this is happening on a new continent. I think it's just we found a new coast in Tyria. That's about it, I feel like. I don't know.
Who knows, man. There's an Asura gate that's in LA that has been purple and on for some people, but you can't walk through it.
Yeah.
Yep, there's a lot of under construction Asura gates in general.
That's for expansion.
No, but this people have straight up walked into this one and says this is not working at this time, come back at a later date.
November 15th.
I think it's the same one me and Shinboy's talking about.
Yeah, which is kind of disappointing, which means you can't swim there. Or at least I would assume you can't swim there.
Why the fuck would you want to swim there? Get out of here. No, I don't.
Because I don't mind underwater combat.
Wait, what happens to people with 100% and then new zones are added?
That's what I was just wondering. Like, somebody was talking earlier about like the adding in the waypoints and stuff, and like eventually like, zones will be added that will have waypoints, whether this one be a zone or not. Like, I would imagine the people who already have the achievement will just have it, and everyone else will just
have to get even more.
They had a second star!
No. What I think they might do is, say they add Kantha. They won't add anything major to Tyria the Continent to the point where they will necessitate more waypoints and stuff. If they add, say, like Kantha or Alona, for example. Let's use Alona as an example. When you 100% Alona, instead of getting a star, you get, if anyone played Nightfall, you know the little, like, the symbol for Kamadon or the any of the cities, the little building? You might get that next to your name, and you can choose which one you want to display at any given time.
And then if you have all three, you get, like, some sort of cool thing.
So wait, when you say they're not going to add anything more to the continent of Tyria, like, what do you mean by that? There already are zones here that we can't access yet. Like, do you mean those aren't going to be added?
They won't add, say, one zone with, like, you know, your standard 15 waypoints and 25 points of interest or anything. They'll add them in chunks that will necessitate their own separate title.
Hmm.
That's what I mean.
I see. Also, you're saying, like, they're not going to add just one zone. They may add, like, four zones at once.
If not more, I would assume more.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were saying, like, what we're able to access in Tyria is all we're going to be able to access, and they'll just add places that are off the map when they add the other stuff. And I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense at all. There are plenty of zones here they could be adding in.
Right.
Yeah, because what they did for Eye of the North is they took the map of Tyria and they literally just made it bigger before they added the areas. So everyone knew where they were going, but they didn't know they would go that far,
right?
If you know what I mean.
Okay.
So if you look at the map of Tyria currently, especially, let me see if I can scroll through to get to it. Come on, Dolphy.net. Look faster. Scroll through images faster. There we go. The Crystal Desert, you might have that expand a bit more south with the Sea of Elon and everything and get all of that at once with the other side of Orin and everything, along with everything to the south and the Deljamor front and all of that. All as one big chunk in a separate expansion.
I see.
And that will necessitate its own title.
Okay. Well, expansion? I think it should be, it would more be like the Lost Coast kind of thing. Not Lost Coast.
I don't know. That's a lot of area if you look at it.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think that's expansion worthy, quote unquote. Maybe like a mini expansion?
No, that's a lot of area. That's a solid.
Well, and Noob, you're also
areas.
Noob, you're also assuming that he's talking about just that area. Like he said, they could easily just zoom the map out, and there's even more stuff down there.
No. I know what he means, but like without the inclusion,
like you could also include like the Ring of Fire and everything in that.
Yeah,
and
I guess so.
I don't know.
Guild Wars 2 expanded.
Same thing on the other side. If you go to the Maguma Waste and you go all the way up to the Isles of Janthir and everything,
don't do that. They don't need to do that. Please don't do that. Oh god, that area is shit. Fuck you.
Well, they got content for over there.
Yeah, clearly that's going to be added in at some point.
The Mersat. Like
it's like that. I mean,
that part of the Guild Wars campaign where you went like westwards.
You mean just none of it because you didn't have to go there.
What do you mean? I don't know, man. Unlike you, I decided not to glitch and play the game legitimately.
Wait, you didn't glitch. You just, walked there.
Yeah, I guess you could just run there. That's true. Damn it.
Yeah, there's for those of you who don't know, there was a good chunk of the Guild Wars story that probably, you didn't have
probably
to do.
Probably about 50% of the game. 50% of the game.
Yeah, you didn't actually have to do those missions to...
You can literally run to the level 20-something.
It was Thunderhead Keep, and you could just do it from there on out, and you would win.
It was really, wow. Well, that's a good thing to have, I guess. But I'm sure that's not something they intended. They just kept it regardless, which is hilarious.
It's like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, it was good for new characters.
Yeah.
Like alts.
It's not alts, but not for like the first time. I remember when I did that without knowing what was going on. I'm like, oh my god, I broke the game. My character needs to be deleted and created again.
Yeah, that's what my guess is when it comes to like stars and adding big areas that require waypoints and stuff.
I feel like unless they add entire continents, they won't make an expansion, but maybe something in between, something like this and an expansion. I think it would.
Are you saying that you don't think they're going to make an expansion for Guild Wars 2?
No, I'm saying an area like he was saying where it's the majority of the Crystal Desert and Northern Alona, I don't think that would be an expansion. That would be something smaller than an expansion.
All right, but he said they could easily wrap around.
I'm just looking at that area, and it is massive.
It is massive. You're right, but I don't know.
Well, like I said, they could easily, or like Shinboy said earlier, they could easily just wrap it around over to the Ring of Fire, and the, like he said, the other side of Ore, and just kind of have this big kind of half.
Because if you look
content
at the map, that would most likely be the Crackle Toric expansion because of where he landed. Because if you're going to uncover that area, he's going to be there. So
no,
it might as well
be
an expansion.
A little bit. Oh yeah, he would be there. You're right. I don't know. I think that's.
But that is in regards to this Lost Shores really, thing, yeah. Saying that they can add these smaller content updates like Lost Shores and everything without having to screw up people's titles.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean,
that's,
we're already,
that's the real point here.
Like we're already a couple months into the game as it is. This is their first real content update where they're adding like a zone into the game, and it's going to be a fairly small zone. And I feel like if they continue this, like 6 or 8 months down the road, they can go ahead and announce whatever the next expansion is going to be, and they can continue releasing little small chunks of content around those areas of the map that we like, basically in the areas of like the Sea of Sorrows and kind of just north of Ruins of War, that kind of stuff there, where it's still safe to go ahead and unlock that stuff.
But the thing is, like, we don't even know whether or not they're even going to bother uncovering those areas, because even in Cantha, especially in Cantha, there was like a ridiculously large amount of the city that was just left blurry. They never ever touched it.
Well, some of that could have also been because of the fact that like they had plans of continuing to produce for that game.
Oh, no,
and
no,
then
no.
Made
it's,
Guild Wars
it's just the thing is like they ditched it for more and more expansions.
Oh, okay.
It just, they never ever had any plans to, they made the map.
It was like that goddamn portal in Stormwind.
Yeah, it just, why have it? Anyways, it opens up a lot of ideas for speculation, but I don't know whether or not necessarily they will fulfill those speculations.
Yeah, yeah. What's up there?
Not really speculation, but just questions for each of you guys on what you think you'd rather see. Would you like to see more of these releasing new small maps, and then while adding, like, while updating existing maps slightly? Or, like, or the other option I've heard is, like, people would like to see, like, the ore zones get an overhaul, like, on a story concept. Like, you know, it's now that people have begun
like to see the story move forward.
Right. I don't want to do spoilers, but, you know, they fight a dragon. And so, after doing that,
I think everybody knows
like,
who fights a dragon.
Like, people would like to see like, the zones where you're fighting undead change.
I think
that's
tough,
the hard part
will never
to do
be always. Yeah, because not everyone will always be caught up. The way I see them going back to what we were saying, the areas, like with the Deljamor front and the Crystal Desert and everything, I say you take that other half of ore and you make that all nice, and you make that the staging area for
whatever the next
into thing the
is.
Crystal Desert.
Yeah, yeah, I agree, because that's the problem with an MMO. Yeah. Like, you can't really. It's kind of the struggle you have with an MMO that maybe they didn't have with Guild Wars 1, I don't believe, because in this one, because there is kind of that persistent world and everybody's in it at the same time, not everybody's in the story at the same point in time. Right. So you're going to have to keep that story kind of looping over and over. It's kind of that idea of, you already killed this enemy, but you know that 5 minutes later he's going to come back again. Like, that's just something you can't really get away from in MMOs with their
current
design.
Had that even in the first Guild Wars. If you went to some of the later areas, you wiped out the, what the hell were they called? The Titans. And you went back to Ring of Fire, and they were still
and
Titans.
Titans.
Yeah, so I think that, like, is, I think that, like, you know, with whatever their next expansion is, when you go into that content, you're going to go into that, and the story is going to move forward in, you know, with the idea of this, you know, dragon being defeated. Right. But if you were to say go back to the current zones of ore, that dragon's still going to be around in terms of the story. Like, that's. It's kind of an unfortunate thing you have to deal with when playing MMOs. Nobody's found a way around it.
It may not have been the best concept.
Flesh it out a
like,
lot more.
Best example, rather. But just like the idea of redoing a whole zone so that the story as a whole, like the dynamic story of that land, is progressed.
So you're saying like maybe something up north with like the Flame Legion and stuff?
Yeah, or the fighting the centaur, or like, yeah, just any of those fronts.
I don't know. I just like to see them redo Ore so that it's not so goddamn hard to do without a group of people.
I agree.
That's less of a story. That's more of a mechanics.
But yeah, it totally is. I'm just saying. I just
hope they flesh out Tyria more before they...
My natural progression led me to Ore without even realizing that's where I was going. And then suddenly I hit a brick wall, and I had to actually backpedal and travel way up north instead to be able to continue like leveling myself up to 80 by myself. Really?
That's different from what I did, was because I was naturally just going up north, and then people are like, what are you doing there? Ore's down there. And I'm like, oh. So I went that way.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the zones that you're choosing, but I just, mine happened to be leading me further and further south until eventually I was in the Straits of Devastation, not realizing even that that was actually Ore. And suddenly I was just dying constantly. And like, finally realized, oh yeah, that's because I'm in Ore. I'm supposed to be here with other people. I'm level 75. I guess I should go somewhere else.
Well, that's why I think Frostgorge is such a good area, because that's a really good place to get from 70 to 80 by yourself.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like, it's not weird that they have, okay, if you want to go 70 to 80 by yourself, there's this area, and in groups, there's this area. It's weird that they're about as far apart on the map as they possibly can be.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, going from Ore to Frostgorge, that's like 5 silver, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that.
4 or 5. You're going from like the top of Frostgorge to the bottom of Ore
to like the gates of Arrah.
Well, but it's like that for every area. As you go north or south, the level increases at a slower, like out of pace compared to when you go west to east.
Yeah, I mean, I can't only complain so much because at least they are offering multiple leveling paths. Like, there's multiple.
No, but I'm assuming that's because like if people go north, they don't want people like go to north and it's like, oh, there's the brick wall. Time to go back south. You want like progression as any way as possible. I think I really liked how they did that.
Yeah, I just wish that progression through Ore wasn't so goddamn painful.
I also find it strange that there's a portal going from Wayfarer Foothills into Frostgorge.
Doesn't it take you to the low level side of Frostgorge?
Yeah, you know, the level 70 something.
It's a weird thing. The southern path, you actually end up going through the mountains, which is like, I did that from Frostgorge going south, and that was really fun.
Right.
But it's not like, usually you're going through like some valley or something to get to the next zone.
Fuck, now I really want to do the expansion speculation cast. Shinbo, we really have to do this.
Yeah, we gotta get on that at some point.
We gotta get on
that. That's after the anime one, though, right?
Oh, yeah, after the anime one, of course.
After the anime
one. Oh, God, the anime one.
So,
that needs to get done.
We've gone way down the speculation path and beyond what we just think that this is, but into like what we think the expansions are going
to
be.
Well, I mean, so, well, we also went back, like this compared to an expansion, so it's not completely obvious.
Yeah. But I felt like you guys were like, had I not stopped this now, you guys were going to totally go into that whole
speculation you guys have been wanting to do. That's a separate show.
No, that needs a separate 8-hour show that will take.
So we'll live stream that, by the way. We'll close the show out with is...
we should live stream the anime cast.
Your guys' story of the Seer
with video
path, through Arrah. So I think Thurb, I'll let you... Shinboy,
I'll start off.
Which path? Because
I was the one who made the decision to do the Seer path.
Oh, Seer path. Ooh.
Okay, we're like, let's do Arrah. It'll be fun.
sounded like fun.
That's how I'm calling this story.
Actually, if I recall, you were you wanted to do Honor of the Waves underwater.
Oh, yes.
But Riven didn't want to do that.
Honor of the Waves underwater.
And so he was like,
Cynic, you
I don't
like
do
underwater,
that.
Right?
I'll do this option instead.
Cynic, you like underwater, correct?
I like underwater, yeah. It was awesome.
Okay, let's do Honor of the Waves after this recording.
After the recording, fixing up my laptop. But yeah, I'm up for it this week. So just
it's the last path I need for that achievement. So if any of y'all people see me in-game and you want to do that path, hit me up. Anyway.
The issue is, there's two underwater paths.
I've done...
Not the one where you can pull the boss out of the map.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I haven't done the other one, so we're good. I'm up for that.
Okay.
Probably tomorrow?
Okay.
Anyway, whatever, we should get
back
to the
topic. Anyway.
Anyway,
back to this, okay. Once Revan shot that idea down, I started looking on the wiki page for a Arrah Explorable, and they had, it's like Jotun Path. These are minor spoilers for races, and I already spoiled one weeks back. It's like Jotun, Seer, which is the one we did, Mersat, and I don't remember the other one. It's something. Does anyone else remember? Anyone?
I forgot the Forgotten.
How ironic. Anyway, I forgot the Forgotten.
Okay.
Anyway, we were looking at them, and they all had information on all the unique bosses, except for the Seer Path. So I'm like, okay, no one apparently knows anything about this path. Let's do that one. And it took 5 hours.
Okay, that was a terrible idea. I know. How would you? Okay, when a wiki is online months after a game's come out, it's usually completed to the point where, you know, sane people have done whatever content is doable and then posted their information about that content. The fact that this is months after release and you look at an uncompleted part of the wiki and decide to do that, well, it's honorable, sure,
if you go now and you go to the Seer Path on the wiki, Herb is the one who filled all that information in.
Nice.
Yeah, I actually updated that like minutes after we finished the dungeon. So this is like, I entered it under like 5 in the morning craze.
Yeah, we finished at like,
5 in the... Okay, what?
No, we finished at like 6 something Eastern.
Holy crap.
Okay, so it's 4 a.m.
What's wrong with you people? Oh my God.
I didn't know it was going to be that long.
We are stubborn.
Well, that's...
We thought it'd be like, oh, it's an hour and a half tops.
Most dungeons have like... one legendary boss at the end, maybe 2 or 3, depending on the path. This had like 6, 7.
Also, 2, maybe 3 chests.
Wait,
no,
so
no. Yeah, this had more like chests than like more waypoints than members of our party.
Wow. Wait, so it's much longer than any of the other explorables.
If we quote unquote speed cleared this, it would probably still take almost 3 hours.
Jesus.
Yeah. Cynic. We explored almost the entire map just with this path.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's a recording of this, by the way.
Yeah, there's a recording on the
Twitch. I did save it on the Twitch channel.
Wait,
I think it's 4 hours, 59 minutes, and 46 seconds.
Jeez. But like, if it's one of those things where you have to go through the entire map, is it possible that the other paths, inverted commas, are just the same map but with different enemies?
Yeah, the boss fights, I think, are different.
It's definitely different.
Okay.
At least go to them in different orders.
Oh, right, yeah.
You end up at the same mid-boss?
The
Giganticus Lupicus.
Yeah, he's the boss on every path.
Okay.
And he's really tough.
Which I think another big issue with this dungeon, and we'll go into grave detail, I'm sure, but the two tough boss fights have got a really long run back. Well, at least the gigantic.
Oh, it's okay. If I was looking at one of the other paths, one of them, a wall shows up where you cannot run back if you die.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
That was gigantic.
No, it's not.
No, you can run back.
There was one that we did on the Forgotten Path where we couldn't come back into the fight. And we did gigantic Lupicus.
No, it's not that. Because he's the same on every path. It's on the Mersad path.
The issue of us coming back into that fight was because we didn't kill the champion in front of the door.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. My bad.
So when you ran in, you brought the champion in there with us, and that just ended everything.
Yeah.
You guys are trying to save time and not kill guys.
Yeah, I didn't agree with that personally.
And that wasn't my decision either. But anyway, go back to the Seer Path. Let's.
Yeah, because basically the general story of the Seer Path is like, I'm not going to go into too much spoiler-wise. Just bloodstones are involved, and you have to go around to the shrine of each god. That's pretty much it. And you fight a less powerful version of each of the... a different version of each of the risen priests that you see around Or. You fight, like, much different versions of them, and each of them... Most of those bosses actually have a really, really cool mechanic attached with them.
Yeah.
Like, those boss fights are awesome, except for one.
Oh, wait, God. I was saying a cool mechanic which like changes up how you play the game, or just like, hey, you have to fight, you have to damage him at this time, then wait, and then damage him at that time.
There is one, the Grenth one in particular. There are 5 portals around the room. You don't touch the boss at all, and you need each person needs to be at least semi like solo proficient, because there's a one of the small wraiths. He moves around from point to point, and you need to damage him a certain amount. Then he'll move to the next one, and adds will spawn where he was.
Okay.
And if you don't touch him on the point, he resets.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And if you don't touch him for like a, you know, a very small amount of time,
it's like 2 seconds to hit him.
Yeah, if you don't hit him, he resets. And that's how you kill the boss. He goes around.
Or
like,
1 second
twice.
If you're Riven.
Oh, fuck yourself.
But that sounds annoying, though.
No, it was really cool.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it's not random. There's a pattern.
Oh, good. Okay, so that is fine. That's awesome.
So, like, once you see one person, the person in front of you, you know, attacking for a few seconds, you can start getting ready, get into position, start, you know, mashing your auto attacks. You just hit him as soon as he spawns. It was really neat.
Another one I enjoyed was, what was the tree one?
That was
God, dude. Fuck those trees.
Well, it was annoying, but it was fun, and like the lead up to it was, it wasn't your normal trash. It was like a Frogger event, which was fun. Basically, you just had to avoid these oozes that were just padding back and forth, or else they one shot you.
So it's like Frogger. That's cool. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Hey.
And then like that whole same element of just these oozes, they didn't one shot you, but they definitely hurt, were added to the boss fight.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the way it worked is there was like one poison tree that was spitting out these things, and there was a bucket of poison, and you see a stump on the other side of them, and you're like, God damn it, we're gonna have to make more of these things. Then you walk over to it, you dump it on it, you make more of these things, and then you see another one across the room, and you're like, God damn it, we're going to have to make another one of these things, that, you know, make three. And then once you create all of the poison trees around the room, that's when the boss spawns.
Wait, so I don't want to get, like when we've done these before, I'd say you guys shouldn't ruin, or not ruin, but spoil how to beat certain parts of these, because I want people out there to figure it out for themselves. But
I think we'll only spoil one boss.
Yeah, so I want to hear, everything sounds really fun. So it has to fall apart somewhere, because it's Guild Wars 2. This is Guild Wars 2, and there's parts in Guild Wars 2, and I think we all know this, where Arena pushes it a little bit too far. For example, for me, jumpy puzzles. So for you, what was it for this dungeon?
There was just one boss fight we spent an hour and a half on, and it was only two different... It was only two fights. We did not fuck up. We only fucked up once.
Wow.
Well, no, we progressively fucked up. We just never like
we never wiped.
The one time we reset, we never wiped. We just ran out because we rage quit.
Rage quitting, that's awesome. Wait, so this is the one you're going to ruin. So tell me a tale. Someone tell me a tale.
It's I can set it up if you want me to.
Go. Set it up.
Go. All
right. Well,
I've blocked this fucking event out.
You walk up on this this pretty decent sized cave. It's got a shrine to Dwena in the middle of it, and it's a pretty like long line looking cave, not like a wide circular or anything. And then there's three or four of these like orb bubble things that are just like locked in place on these five runes, and two more on the other end. And the whole, what I like about the dungeon as a whole is it sort of teaches you about the fight before you actually start fighting. And how this one does is, oh, we have to auto attack this orb, and then it aggroes on the nearest person, and it does slightly ranged attack, so you have to like kite it onto the rune.
Does it do?
But it's a little tricky.
It's like one of those eyes, like the eye of whatever, Zaitan. Or is this like a disorder?
No, it's like a blue electric.
Okay, so like an air elemental, like. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it does that, but then like it can change aggro at random. So if there's somebody like slightly closer, it'll start following them instead.
Okay.
And but it's with just the two of them, you can get them onto the rune, and then the boss shows up. Doesn't do a whole lot of damage.
Okay.
But when she shows up,
I've been petrified.
There's small AoEs, about the size of, like, the only thing I compare it to is, like, the Mesmer Greatsword, like, AoE sword, like, stab the ground thing.
Yeah, I think blade comes out of the ground thing.
Yeah. That's the pretty good size of it. And then, like, those are scattered all over the map.
Okay.
And they just do moderate damage. But then she also petrifies people.
I've been petrified.
And I will have Riven explain what that does.
Okay, wait. So there are bosses in Guild Wars 2 that do interesting stuff to you. The alternative I can think of is in the Twilight Arbor, where there's this boss that transforms you into a little animal. And that was fun.
That's the best boss in the game.
Yeah, best boss
in the game.
But
there's another boss in this dungeon.
We have yet to talk about the
umbrella.
Rage quit mechanic.
Okay. So petrification sounds like it's not fun. On the other hand, what is it?
I got stuck in some funny positions. Other than that,
wait, what?
Yeah, so I purposely got myself stuck in a funny position.
You just straight up freeze and turn to stone in the middle of whatever.
You get a debuff saying you're about to be turned to stone.
Oh, that's the thing that was there for Halloween as well. During if you have a cauldron.
Yeah. Wait. So it literally takes away all your skills. It essentially just takes away your control.
No,
of the game.
It doesn't take away. You're just frozen until someone unfreezes you.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds lame. Well, how many people were frozen in a given time? Is it just like one at a time?
It's just one. It's the person who has her aggro. And 9 out of 10 times that was me.
Because you're playing Guardian, I assume.
I was just standing in front of her.
So you're about as useful petrified as you were otherwise.
Oh. Yeah, the other guardian there was basically just fucking grabbing tears of Grenth to just unfucking freeze me.
It's tears of Duenna, isn't
tears
it?
Of Duenna.
It's
tears
of
Duenna.
Oh, so yeah,
there's
you can
little
cure
blue
it.
Rocks that appear throughout the cave, and you have to just pick up, and then just this big AoE you throw, and when the splash hits, it de-petrifies.
Okay, that's actually kind of cool. All right. So far, I'm on board.
That's
with
not the only mechanic.
Yeah, I assume there's a but.
I could live
now we'll get to phase two if Shinboy wants to set it up. Well, like, it's what, every 30 seconds?
No, well,
seconds?
The first one, when the boss gets down to, like, it seemed to be less than half, like 45%.
Yeah.
It says underneath the boss, you're like, heals when stealthed, and you get the boss down like half, and you're like, this person
has never stealthed. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This is easy. And then when you get to the boss to about 45% or so, she decides to stealth, and the aforementioned air elementals, I think they were called sparks, show up around the room. There's 5 of them, and you need to bring them in, you know, towards the shrine.
Oh, you do that again.
Designated locations.
Okay.
You have to do it again. This doesn't seem too bad. Until you realize how bad the pathing is.
Oh god!
Yeah, you take 3 things into effect.
Glitches.
Yeah, you take 3 things: the bad pathing,
okay,
the fact that they change aggro,
right,
and the fact that your tank just got frozen again, right as she disappeared,
and is standing in the middle
right
of somewhere,
next to right next to the shrine. So when you bring all these things next to the shrine, they just auto aggro to the tank.
Oh god!
And since they're ranged, they don't move.
Oh god!
and then
gets worse.
Throughout the whole time that's fighting, you get to see the boss's health bar insanely fast.
Oh.
Like, to the point where it goes from like 45% to like 85% or higher.
Jeez!
There was one time we fucked up; she got back to full health.
And then once you get them in after the first one, they're timed.
Oh
my
god!
Did you guys try?
Wait, so
like,
we almost
just
snapped
this
at each other.
Yeah, there was a point where we were getting really angry.
Yeah, I was actually watching it live while it was happening on the stream, and at one point I got real uncomfortable and considered just closing it.
Oh, wow. Wait, so...
And then, actually, like, Insane
I believe
Shadowblade,
the words
who's listening,
"you're tearing the family apart" showed up in guild chat at least once.
Yeah, no, Insane Shadowblade, who was watching the stream as well, just puts in chat, I wasn't aware he was watching, but I knew he was talking about us, just puts in chat, "this boss fight is tearing this guild apart."
So, was it mainly the pathing, like straight up?
It was mainly the pathing and the weird aggro, because, you know, it makes sense, 5 people, 5 sparks. Then you realize you got to bring them all to the same location.
Right.
So they start latching on to other people as everyone gets close to each other.
Okay, isn't that fine, though? Because they still go to the same... You still run into the same...
No, because the thing is, there are 5 locations in a circle.
Oh, you have to lead them
the
in different directions.
Yeah, you need to... Each location can only take one.
Oh,
and
that's fucked.
There's like a guardian shield type thing that shows up around it when... there's one in there, but that was glitching, so unused ones had that look to them still.
Okay, great. Great!
Oh, and sometimes the sparks would move, so you couldn't tell if they were on this one or not, so you're just
and, like, they need to... See, the pathing, everything will be fine if they make the area that they need to get into much bigger. Because, like, you know, 3/4 of the thing will be over the area, but you need to get it 100%. But, you know, someone is running around, so it aggroes them, and they run the opposite direction.
So those areas are also the size of that mesmer thing, or are you talking about...
They're about as big as the fucking spark.
Oh, jeez. That sounds... See, I was picturing these as being like PvP like points. I was like, okay, that's not.
They're about the size as if that aura were to be around like a human character.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Oh, you know the Guardian, the Guardian 5,
the bubble shields.
That's on the focus. That's what
the
it
little
is.
Bubble shield.
That's basically how big it is.
Jeez, that sounds. So wait, but when you get them there, do they stay?
Or once you get one in there, it stays.
Okay,
yeah.
So it could be worse, but not by much, is what you're saying.
If that was the case, I would not be recording this because I would have killed myself.
I probably would have fucking quit the game.
Because as a person who's played a lot of bad Japanese RPGs, I could see this being worse. But so how can they fix it? Make those circles bigger and fix the pathing? Like, so
lower her health,
maybe
regeneration.
Only three, like health regen slower, maybe only make 3 sparks instead of 5. Mm-hmm. So there's less of a chance of like, and you know, make them in sort of like a triangle around the thing,
right? Gotcha.
It wouldn't be too
that,
bad because the way the cave is laid out, there's like, you know, the things in the middle, there's obviously a front and a back,
yeah,
with the statue in the middle. The back is one open area, but the front is split down the middle. So you could have one in the back and one on each side of the front, and it would work fine.
Right. Okay. So, but
I guess like, Riven, go ahead first.
Shinbo, do you remember that mechanic from Crucible of Eternity where we had to use those guns to lead the bombs, the bomb golems to the boss?
Right.
That sounds like a similar mechanic. Use a similar mechanic there.
That'd be pretty
cool. Have to lead them to the location, and that's how you get rid of the aggro thing. Because as long as that thing was charging on them, you had control over the golem.
Or even like in some of the hard quests when you have to like scare chickens back into the pen, run over to them and have like a prompt, like press F to move this thing.
Oh, that would be good. They're not well done. Like that isn't like a good thing, but it sounds better by large steps than what you guys had to do with it. So these weren't in a pentagon arrangement. Like I was picturing it as a pentagon. Like you just have to read them five.
No.
That's what the fuck.
It's like a super elongated star.
Yeah. And so, like, basically, I'll just explain the strat because they won't fix this for another 3 months, probably.
Yep. If ever.
And even if it, well, even if, like, the thing is, us explaining the strategy won't help you.
Because the strategy
is
in the hard part.
It's still
going to
take you an hour.
Yeah. All right.
Just don't do it. That's the thing.
Which sucks. It honestly sucks because I think pretty much every other boss on this path is fantastically done.
Except for the last boss was the fucking
nightmare. No, including
nightmare.
The last boss.
The last boss was the nightmare we were all had that night.
Last boss nearly broke my heart, but then it's like, oh, wait, it's not constantly doing this. It's just, we'll have to kill this thing and we're good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, it's basically we had, I was the lowest DPS. Mm-hmm. And so my job was just to run around constantly getting ready to throw a tier and pick up the next
one. Okay, right.
To,
I'm petrified.
Like, get the tank.
Yeah.
And then I would be. Then once she stealthed, Ishan would go with Riven and just hug a wall and pray. get down on her knees and pray that an orb didn't aggro
her. Okay. All right.
And Ishan would grab a tier because Riven would just immediately get turned to stone once you get near the wall.
Okay.
Because, like, that's the time it took.
Yep.
She disappeared.
I would run
in
the back.
I was turning to stone, so I would just run towards that wall.
Yeah. I'd run in the back and get the two orbs, and then Shinboy and, who's our fifth?
Reos,
yeah. Reos would pick up the three up front.
Okay.
And I'd, like, wait a heartbeat. They would bring their three up and like pass the shrine and get those three hooked, and then I'd bring my two and get those three hooked.
Okay.
And we dropped and by that time it was like 5% loss on the boss, and we just kept that going.
Wait, so
No, there was one point where you forgot a crucial turning point in this fight. When we had all of them except for one near where we eventually killed the boss, that one, and I had it and I had swiftness on me, and I turn around and the thing leashed because I had swiftness. I just yelled as loud as I could, "I'm out," and sprinted out of the cave and just threw my headset off. I just said I'm done and had the menu up and mouse hovering over exit to desktop.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Jesus.
And we were all about to quit, and then, because the other ones are timed, so we decided to, like, we were all running tanky builds, because it pretty much requires it for a lot of the, even the trash.
Right. Again, against Lupagus, you have, man, you get hit, if you're a glass cannon, you won't survive the second.
Yeah, Turin found that out.
Yeah, I didn't
quick.
Run this with them, but that was, like they said earlier, that's one boss that, like, all the paths do, so I experienced that boss, and... Yeah, you can't do that as glass cannon, not even at range.
That's fucking cool.
Die this in like, a second.
That boss fight has a like empowered like the if the phase one thing happens that you don't stop, he gets stronger in the later phases. With both our groups, we didn't let him get stronger, and he still would one shot us in the later phases.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway,
the nickname "One Hit Rails" because anytime he got hit, he was done.
Well, he got that nickname until I came in.
Yeah.
Nice. Anyway, going back to the Duena boss, when I ran out, you know, the boss was back up to full health anyway, so everyone just ran out. And the good thing is when you run out like that, it resets the fight to the point where the next time you fight the boss, it goes down to 45% again. It's not timed.
Okay.
So we decided as best as we could to switch to DPS builds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we had to do that. So I was running Sword and Shield with Banner's Heal and Shake It Off as my three utility skills.
All right.
So I'm just going to it because you know as a warrior, I'll explain. I switched to, while still running 10-0, 30-30 as my traits.
Yep. Okay.
I switched to Greatsword with Frenzy. Since I still had the banners, like Banner of Strength.
Nice.
And I forgot what my third skill was, something stupid. and had to try and DPS as best as I could that way.
That's great. That's
was it
great.
Frenzy?
Well, Frenzy was one of them.
I already said Frenzy. Oh.
Frenzy, it wouldn't be balanced as. It's probably still knowing you, still probably Shake It Off. No,
it was for Great Justice.
Okay.
It was for Great Justice.
Sure.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
For crit chance for everyone.
Yay.
And Thurb ended up bringing Time Warp and all kinds of crazy nonsense.
Nice. And wait, so did you beat it?
Yes.
After an hour and a half on one boss.
After it was more than an hour and a half.
Closer to 2 hours with only two attempts.
And in the end, it was a matter of just getting
it's
its
extremely
down.
Difficult to die on that boss.
Right. Okay. But in the end, it was just like you straight up had to live with its bullshit and master it.
Let's put it this way. It's extremely, extremely difficult to die. I think maybe the whole 2 hours, maybe two people went down.
Okay,
that.
Right.
And both on the wiki, as Thurb put, and it is yet to be corrected, and another article that I read talking about the boss, it is currently the hardest boss available in game.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I said arguably on the wiki when I posted it.
Yeah, not because it's hard to die, but because it's the hardest boss to get past.
Right.
The execution needed to defeat the boss.
So we're talking about the rooms in Ascalon Catacombs where you had to just get your fucking timing down, like the Graveling Borough.
This is much more difficult.
So this is more difficult in terms of group coordination than that, and multiple times
because
over.
That, once you get it down, is really easy. Right. Once you get this down, it's still fucking tough.
Okay.
If you fuck up in that room in Ascalon Catacombs, you can save yourself.
Right.
There's room for error. The room for error on this fight is so small.
If you mess up,
you might as well just restart.
If you mess up, lol, boss at full health.
Jeez. Also, I hate resetting bosses, just in general. The fucking worst fucking mechanic in the game.
Oh, we failed Jigena because Lupinus the first time, and we probably would have finished it because I went down, Thurb used the temporary mesmer up, I ran out of the room, and the boss followed me and reset.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So the question that Cynic isn't asking is, was it all worth it?
Oh, that's yes.
No.
Of course not.
Of course not.
No. What the fuck would you ask that?
Well, hold on. Well,
In terms of loot and tokens, no. In terms of me getting that check mark for my achievement and never needing to do it again, yes. Because fuck
what
all
about,
y'all, because I'm not doing
bonds
it with you people.
Of friendship and teamwork you've, you know, established.
Oh, yeah, we're now a
dungeon.
Brotherhood.
Nice.
Now a brotherhood. Like, you're comfortable enough to shower together, right? You guys
probably.
Are probably.
I mean, it's to Riven's credit. He definitely, like, you know, he didn't break the a second mouse.
That's true.
Because this is a day after
he broke the first one.
Puzzle.
Yeah, there you go. Jeez. Well, that sounds like fun, I guess.
Honestly, though, aside from
I
the
like
boss,
the guy's
that path was really awesome.
It sounds really easy. And you guys
I was
going
to say, that's
really
that. Like when I was watching them and listening to them just rage about it, I was like, Cynic would love this place.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Well, see,
and the final boss
like
fight
that are
is
tough.
A great design.
Yeah, it is. Mm. It takes all the unique mechanics from each fight and melds them into one fight.
Okay.
That's really cool.
Well, it could be cool.
We just freaked out because we were worried it would reset and heal back up the full.
I don't mind things that are difficult, like Giganticus Lupicus is difficult because he hits hard and like there's a lot of AoEs and stuff like that. This was difficult because the pathing was fucked.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think that's fun.
Yeah
it's fun. When it's difficult because of just bugs. It just gets freaking irritating.
Yeah, and aggro bug and aggro, terrible pathing. Just sounds crap.
Yeah.
And it could also be fixed if they just like redistributed the points to like to make sure that you couldn't like cross aggro, like that kind of stuff would be awesome. But yeah, it sounds like it wasn't play tested by sane people. It's play tested by people like me, and that's not what you want in a video game.
No, that's not what you want.
I doubt Cynic that you would even enjoy this because of why it's difficult.
Mm, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, if you wanted to go like a DPS style, you wouldn't be able to make some of the previous boss fights.
Yeah, that's
the Mesmer fight was really fun. Actually, I thought.
Oh yeah.
Oh god, I have 25 stacks of confusion on me. I should probably stop auto attacking.
Rayos killed.
Oh no!
So
why
many
am
times
I suddenly at 100
fight?
Health?
Rayos killed himself so many times in that fight. Because by the time he realized he had the confusion, he'd already done 3 attacks.
Wow.
See, like, I thought the Grenth boss was difficult in a fun way in the second part.
So, I kind of imagine the other really like pods. Because all the pods, do you fight the 5 gods?
No, this seems to be the only one.
Oh wow, okay. That's kind of cool. That is kind of cool then.
I think this might be the most important one lore-wise too. Because they talk about bloodstones and all that kind of stuff. So.
Interesting.
If you're into that kind of thing.
Wait, so have you guys done the Mursat one?
No. I want to.
Yeah, that's the one I want to do.
Well, we can sadly. This week because apparently Arra's broken.
Yeah. That's why I never got around to it. Every time I'm interested in doing stuff Arra related,
I need 2 more pads for my shoulders. That's it.
We need 2 more pads to finish the dungeon.
I kind of wanted to just quickly ask about
more.
This. The last time
we
did Ore.
Oh, yeah, we didn't finish that one.
The last time
The zone or
no? Well,
the
last time I was about to do Arra with these 2 jackasses, they stopped entirely because they found out how to forge.
Oh yeah,
specific swords. How are you?
I got that sword.
What are your guys' loadouts now? Like, you guys play quite a bit of this game, so I want to hear like what sweet loot you're rocking.
I bought a Voltaic Spear.
Yeah, I saw that.
I got
it looks pretty cool.
I got my IDS.
Yay! Wait, so did Shinboy? Did you go IDS FDS? Were you able to do that?
No, because I'm starting to get. I'll get it eventually. I'm starting towards Twilight gradually. Like I got my Gift of Ascalon.
Oh, jeez.
I have a blue icon above my head.
What does that mean?
Some rares.
What is a
blue icon?
He's a
commander buff.
Commander, yeah.
Wait, so,
yeah.
Oh, you didn't get that yourself.
No, but all the money I ever accrued from like up to hitting 80 to like last week got
that's
put
true.
Into that fund.
That's true. I also
a lot of my gear
totally
is still
turned the guild
and,
bank into getting me stuff before Riven.
Durin and other fresh 80s will like this. I spent a lot of my karma and whatnot on the like invader set, but basically you could look for there are rare level 80 sets that you can get for karma that can just get you like basic level 80 gear. It's not the top tier, but it's close to it.
Yeah,
it's better than the stuff you were getting while you were leveling.
Yeah.
And
then like mix that in with just start farming dungeons. Mm-hmm. You can use that 60 a day to get you some exotic gear.
It's gotten to the point where I'm finally getting paychecks now. I'm considering just dumping gems in
money for gems, gems to armor, and just be done with it. Because I don't think I could go back to that kind of shit. I don't know, man. I just don't have the time anymore, which is kind of crazy. But yeah.
Just look at AC and see if that armor has any stats you want on it, because all that armor is cheaper than
it doesn't. Yeah, I don't like it.
Full AC runs are really easy. That's what, 180 tokens.
Yeah, all three packs in 2 hours.
Yeah. Like the thing that.
Oh, and also dungeon tokens are.
We need to do that, by the way.
Right.
I haven't done like any explorables. We need to do something.
Yeah, me neither. Take me with you, Durin.
The dungeon yet, armor I want in terms of
I've
visuals,
been 80 for a long time. I've been 80 way before you, Durin.
What is it, Cynic? Tell me.
Is Corticus's Manor.
Fuck you!
Good luck with that.
Yeah. That's not happening. You. Fuck you.
So I'm going to be going for the visual set instead.
No, they fixed
which
it.
I can just get with gold.
Story mode was broken.
Oh, I got visual set. It's actually so great.
Yeah, I like it.
But if you don't have the right colors, for some reason, they just transfer on the colors.
Well, I tried it on and with the previewer. It looks good. I like the visual set. And that's going to be like $80. I might just do that. I don't know. It depends.
$80?
What?
Jesus.
For the I don't know. I'm just throwing that number. I'm assuming it'll be around that amount if I get that amount in gems. Unless gem prices.
It's 10 gold.
25?
No, that's not true.
No, it's like 12.
No, because gold is like, I was looking at 100 gems gets you about 50 silver.
Holy shit.
And the
it's gone up
is about
like
8
a
silver.
Lot.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, it's gone up a lot.
Yeah.
Halloween.
And
Halloween, man.
And you are fucking nuts for trying to spend $80
on
a rare set.
Wait, so it's 100 gems. Sorry, 800 gems is 50? Or is it 100 gems is 50 silver?
No, 100 gems is 50 silver.
So that would be 12 times 2 is 2,400 would be how much I need for that whole set of armor.
Yeah.
And I just
like
want to talk about
bucks.
Stupid weapons no, that
like
I bought
that
I shouldn't
like
spend money
on. Yeah, that sounds doable. I might just do that. $30. Full set of armor.
Or you
I
buy a Voltaic Spear. Buy a Voltaic Spear.
Nah.
And then buy the Guild Wars 1 longsword as a great sword.
I didn't like
for
the
full set of gear?
Yes, $30 for a full set of endgame gear. Yeah, it's not bad, huh? Because my time, that's like 1.5 hours pay. So, no, that's less than 1.5 hours pay. That's like an hour and 5 minutes
like your,
pay.
If you do a full AC run, that's like one piece right there.
Because I'm currently on, 25 an hour? Yeah. So that's like an hour. I'm there. It's not bad at all.
25 in your silly Australian money.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway. Anything else, Durin?
Anyway, I think that's the show. I think that's the show.
What about Jar Jar Binks?
No, Jar Jar Binks, no.
What about Jar Jar?
We'll go ahead and move into plugs then. Thurbleton, we'll start with you.
We are still doing WoW of Wednesdays, and it's pretty much what's calling WoW of Weekends now. We do like a Friday night, and then just depending on how that goes, we will do like organized. Like this week, we are doing very well.
You guys need to put that
so
up on the Steam group.
Anarchy.
Is that up there? I didn't see it. I don't know.
I can set it up.
I don't know.
I'll set it up.
Yeah, you need to put that shit up. I guess that's what that's for. So.
Okay. And then just a shout out to Moonlit Wind. It's one of the overnight people in Giant Bomb Lincoln Force that is doing real good leading people in WoW.
Cool. That's awesome.
Cool.
And also definitely continue to check out Thurbleton's Twitch channel because
we stream dungeon runs a lot.
Yeah, when he does crazy things like that goddamn dungeon run they just explained, that all is streamed. So
that's awesome. So that's
I'll tell you, Durin, what did you think of that stream? Were you entertained? Except for the part where we almost kill each other.
I was entertained until it became uncomfortable, yes.
there's a weird thing where like I've done tests and I'm getting like 700 speed on Twitch, but 1400 on own 3D.
Hmm.
Which is another stream.
Okay.
A lot of that probably is due to traffic. I know that you can get a lot of lag just from Twitch. Like for instance, if you're streaming like when there's a big LOL or StarCraft 2 tournament going on, you're gonna end up having lag on your stream. There's nothing you can do about it.
And right.
OWN doesn't have that problem because they're running different servers, obviously.
Also, just try compressing the audio as opposed to the video, in my opinion.
I don't compress it for them. But yeah, like most likely what it probably is, it's probably something on Twitch's side, and it's just unfortunately something that comes along with streaming on the popularity of Twitch.
So in general, that's what, twitch.tv/Thurbleton, which is spelled Thurbleton. But yes.
Yep.
Cool. Awesome.
All right, Robin?
I got nothing.
Oh.
You got nothing? All right, Cynic, anything?
Well, I was going to plug the Leafcraft stuff, but you can do that. So I'm washing my hands.
No, go ahead. Go ahead and plug the Linking Cast up because I'll probably forget.
All right. So anyway. You can contact this podcast, the Linking Cast, on thelinkingcast@gmail.com or at the Linking Cast on Twitter. You ask us questions, we will answer them, and if it's a good question, we'll put it on the podcast.
In fact, actually, I will go so far as to say on that because I've really wanted to get questions on here. Like, if you do have a question, send it to the email address.
The linkingcast@gmail.com.
Well, you just said it. I didn't feel like I need to say it again.
Sure. Yeah, that's the reason.
Regardless of whether it is Guild Wars 2 related or not, and as long as it is not offensive, we will answer it on the podcast.
Even if it is a little offensive.
Ask a question.
As long as it is not overly offensive compared to what you already hear on this podcast, we will answer it on the podcast.
So we have no limits on how offensive it can be.
Please, someone ask a sports question so I can talk about sports.
Oh, God.
Speaking of offensive, I've actually now started up my Delicious Flat Chest Guild.
Oh, my God.
You need to stop.
And has a delicious flat chest.
You were maxed on guild. Did you have to get rid of Cerberus?
Huh? I never made Cerberus.
He made an Asura today.
Yeah, I made an Asura today.
Great, Scott.
My Asura is the human Mesmer. A character. That's great. So technically, in name, it's still...
Oh, if anyone out there wants... Oh, we might do it as a giveaway, but Asura Guardian, the name, that I'm up for giving that up. I don't need it.
I'll take it.
No.
Actually, no.
I would, but I actually like Ian of the Guard. I'm not.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's actually awful. Durin, you should...
All right, Shinboy, any...
I'm not going to bother plugging my site because I haven't had power all week. but I'm just going to say... Well,
the site's still
vein.
Up, right?
But there's nothing on it recent anyway. I'm probably going to do a piece on why I stopped playing Dishonored but plan to go back and play it in the future. But we talked about that earlier. But I'm just going to say, since I've seen a lot of what happened, go check out the Red Cross site for all
that's an awesome plug.
The Tri-State area.
Yeah, that's actually a good plug. Yeah.
You can actually, I don't know the number because they had a big thing on the telethon on NBC, which I couldn't watch. They said the numbers on screen. But I was listening to it on the radio, so I couldn't see the screen. There's a number you can text, and it just sends a $10 donation directly to the Red Cross. So that's super easy. Good you can call. Do it while you're listening to this before I finish this sentence. So go do that.
TheRedCross.com, I guess?
I know you can also do it on iTunes. I think it's like iTunes.com/Red Cross, something like that.
That's nice.
I'm sure I'd do a quick Google search, and the information is everywhere.
And so if you have any of those, like, really... Well, I don't think you can use gift cards. That would be interesting if you could use gift cards to give money to the Red Cross. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Durin, any plugs?
Just my Twitch channel as well.
You have a Twitch channel?
I'm going to hopefully ramp up my Guild Wars 2 play, and that'll include dungeon runs. And
what has been up there recently?
Dungeon run, I'll be streaming. I haven't done a lot, but I did do the intro event for the Halloween event.
Oh, yeah, I saw
that. As well as some of what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did our attempt at the Forgotten... Path of Arrah.
Yay.
It ended very abruptly because we all were sick of it an hour and a half in.
That's great.
That was like the next day.
Yeah, it was. I did not blame you guys at all. I was surprised you even wanted to go. So I did not blame you guys at all for saying, fuck it, we're done, and walking out.
Okay, I have a URL for that stuff, by the way. It's redcross.org for the, you know, just the main site. Or if you go to redcross.org/Hurricane_aid, it'll take you directly to where you could donate for that specific cause. So
okay, right, cool. Great.
Cool. I think that's it, right?
Yep, DFC. Just send me a whisper and then I'll send you to the guild. God, make sure you have a delicious flight.
Everything has to be done under the table. So, wait, no. You can't have them message
you
in game.
No, don't
it has to be
that.
Like,
oh, God.
You have to email.
No.
You have to post on the Facebook page, the LinkyCast Facebook page, and then Newbrown will message you with a number of questions, and then you have to answer them correctly, and then he'll give
Speaking
you
Speaking of questions, if you. So you can like the LinkingCast Facebook page and then just hop a question.
So LinkingCast by no means endorses it. It's for people who like the LinkingCast.
Okay, I want to go ahead and put this out there because I'm afraid. So Noob is the one that runs the Facebook page. For anybody who doesn't know that already.
Technically, it's the unofficial Facebook page. Yes. We're centered on MySpace.
So what I'm worried about is if you decide to friend the Facebook page, that's totally on you. I know some people have, and some people have commented, and that's great.
Yep.
If Noob sends you a personal friend request on Facebook, I implore you, do not accept that friend request.
No, let's be honest. I'll only send it if you have a delicious flat chest.
You need to stop using those words. It's really creepy.
A minor.
Any man has a delicious flat chest.
I guess so. Do you have,
unless you have breasts.
Yes. Moobs.
I don't care
anymore. So no fat people?
No fat people. So not me. I'm not included.
No fat chicks and noob don't care.
Noob Rami don't care. Yes.
Noob don't care.
All right, so that's a podcast, and I'm just gonna go ahead and steal Noob's outro from last time because people seem to like it. So
yeah.
Have a nice day and fuck off.